Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dadon Tolbert. It's good to be back live on this evening after a all-time classic live Sunday night show a couple of days ago where we had our long-awaited race relations special where we talked about just everything that's going on in the black community as well as things that are going on in the nation as a whole. With this being the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, I felt like this was an appropriate time to, cover a lot of the issues that, that are important to us from an African American perspective. So hopefully, hopefully you enjoyed it, and if you did not get a chance to check that out, definitely check out the arc. I know we're not, usually live on Sunday night, so it may have slipped through the cracks for many of you, although it was a very highly rated episode, I'm told. So definitely check that out at DadonTolbertShow.com. Tonight's show is going to be a little bit in a different direction. We're going to, obviously, with the other night was the MTV Video Music Awards, and, I got a chance to watch it last night, and I usually watch it every year, and, along with shows like the Grammys and the Billboard Music Awards, and, every time I watch it, it's just like now that I know what I know, it's like, we're really being under attack as Christians, as believers, by the mainstream media, as far as blasphemy, as far as, people being passionate about making a mockery of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and just the establishment of the church as a whole. And so I'm watching the VMAs, and, and if you guys watch, you should know by now, just from listening to this show, that, you should see that, the whole show is literally filled with demonic, satanic, blasphemous images, ideologies, rituals, all types of stuff that we'll talk about on this evening. So tonight's show is entitled Blasphemy in Entertainment. Some of you may remember a few, at this point, maybe last year, we did a historic show. Don't even want to call it a classic, just absolutely historic, because it's never been done before, a show on where we kind of did a general overview of Satanism in the entertainment industry and just, the foundation of it, what it's rooted in, what people believe, what Satanists, they are founded upon, their beliefs, things like that. So definitely check that out. We've done a number of these types of shows over the years, but this is going to be somewhat more centralized to strictly blasphemous events, performances, rituals, ideologies, all that stuff in entertainment. So definitely I'm excited about tonight's show. Many of you have expressed interest in us doing a show like this, especially on the heels of the MTV Music Awards. So at any time, you're welcome to call in. Maybe if you've seen things that I may not have, have seen or, maybe didn't plan on talking about on tonight, definitely feel free to call in live and share those things, for people who may be, unfamiliar, 646-200-0366. You guys know how I do. Lines are always open. Pray for tonight's show. I said online earlier, whenever we talk about this type of stuff, there usually seems to be some type of technical difficulties of some sort, out the blue. So hopefully you guys can hear me clearly. The sound isn't distorted like is, has happened in the past. So Courtney is here with me as always. Courtney, what's going on with you? Can you hear me okay tonight?
Yeah, I can hear you. How are you?
All right, cool. That's good. I'm doing well. I'm excited about tonight's show. I know you said you were going to get a chance to try to check out some of the VMAs. Were you able to?
Yeah, I watched all of it.
Cool. We'll talk about it. We'll definitely talk about it. Just off the top of your head, anything that just kind of stick out at you, are you looking forward to tonight?
Yeah, I am looking forward to tonight, definitely. One thing I will say is I've never seen a show before, maybe I haven't, just, didn't pay attention to it, where, all of the performances, the background, the choreographers, but the background dancers, they all had on red, black, and white. Almost every last one of them. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things we want to do tonight is just because I know a lot of people were they saw the flyer that I posted on Facebook just in promotion and for the show. If you didn't get a chance to see it, it was a flyer that I did with you have Jay-Z, you have Beyonce, You have Denzel Washington. You have Kanye West. You have Justin Bieber. I put Michael Jackson in there. John Cena, who is, you know, the most successful and most popular wrestling star of all time, Oprah Winfrey, and Eminem. You know, these are all major, major, major superstars who have at one point in their or another expressed, you know, a you know, put out willingly and knowingly demonic and satanic images. And it's all this stuff is right here in front of you for you to see. And we'll talk about a little bit more tonight about what those images are. So hopefully you guys can recognize them. So when you see this stuff, it's like, whoa, that's what Dadon was talking about, if you're unfamiliar. Now, if you are familiar, you already know, and you know, it's, you're just listening for entertainment because you already know what you're seeing literally. Funny thing is, as I'm preparing for tonight's show, I'm getting ready to put my daughter in bed. So, you know, sometimes we might put on, like, Bubble Guppies or some crazy stuff like that. And as I'm watching Bubble Guppies, they're, like, you know, doing all this type of magic stuff and, you know, Dora the Explorer. You know, you see all types of Illuminati symbolism throughout these cartoons even. You know, as we talk about entertainment on a large scale, it's very important not to forget these children's shows as well. Because, you know, my daughter's two, and, you know, she likes all that stuff. And now she's like, ta-da, abracadabra. I'm like, whoa, we gotta change the channel. Because if you guys know anything, a lot, you know, magic, and we'll actually be sharing some very specific scriptures tonight that actually speak to, you know, the importance of not subscribing to any form of magic or voodoo or any, you know, psychic, astrology, any of that stuff that, you know, channel spirits and powers that clearly are not of God. And the Bible is very specific about what happens when people do that. Courtney, you yourself used to be into astrology.
Oh, yes. Like, I was, like, serious about it. It was, like, I don't want to say an addiction, but just about. Like, I relied on astrology more than I relied on God at one point.
So, absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, back, I'm a Sagittarius. I was into astrology so much so that I actually got a tattoo of a Sagittarius when I was 17, freshman year in college. So, I mean, you know, it's all about evolution. It's all about, you know, recognizing, you know, who you were, who you want to be. And even if you're unfamiliar, use tonight's show to be the start of not just change your life from listening to tonight's show, but allow this to be the start to really doing some research and educating yourself on your own, because nobody can tell you this stuff. You've got to see this stuff for your own. You know, people can tell you to get the ball rolling, but at the end of the day, you've got to research and you've got to understand. You've got to pray and ask God for discernment as we talk about some of your favorite entertainers and some of these well-known people that you're used to seeing every day. We're going to talk about that real quick, and this is really not any different from that, but I wrote a blog yesterday, a rather short blog, but I wanted to share it with you guys this evening about Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, obviously, we did our show on race relations Sunday night where we touched on this, but I didn't feel like I really expressed the point the way I needed to or where I wanted to. So, and as we talk about blasphemy, you know, we can't not talk about what we're seeing from a lot of these activists, quote-unquote entertainers, politicians and things like that, about how they are making a mockery to me of the church and really overall what Dr. King stood for. So I just want to read the blog and say a few words about it. One of the things I said is, I said that with this past weekend being the 50th anniversary of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's historic I Have a Dream speech, I find it very troubling that many black politicians, activists, a.k.a. race hustlers, are using this weekend to promote the national mainstream government agenda of homosexuality acceptance in America. Martin Luther King Jr. was many things: a civil rights leader, a father, a husband, community organizer, activist, and ultimately martyr. But above all else, he was a Christian. Now, I'm not talking about the fake Christians like Barack Obama and many others whose belief shifts whichever way the wind blows that day. I'm talking about the type of Christians who stood firm on his beliefs and was willing to die for what he was passionate about. God views and the Bible calls homosexuality an abomination. Therefore, as a preacher of the Word of God, Dr. King did not and would not support the gay rights movement and certainly wouldn't have included it in his I Have a Dream speech, in the context of fighting for civil rights and equality for all. It's disgusting how people have manipulated his beliefs to fit their own satanic agenda. If you support gay rights and homosexuality, that's between you and God on Judgment Day, but let's be respectful and honor the legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and not forget what he truly stood for, which was Jesus Christ. That was my blog that I wrote the other day. Courtney, any thoughts on that before we really jump into tonight's show?
I wanted to say, you know, it was very excellent, you know, everything that you said. And I wish that more people were talking about this kind of stuff. You know, I wish that more people were standing up for what's right, you know, for Jesus Christ. But, you know, it just really shows how far we've, you know, gotten away just from our beliefs. I'm not talking about me and you, you know, but the majority of this world, you know, they're still in the world. And so they are not living for Jesus Christ at all. And it's just very unfortunate. And then also, I will say that it was apparent in the whole the VMAs. Like, we saw the promotion of homosexuality in that show. It was like one part in particular where I was like, oh, my gosh, are you serious?
Oh, yeah, so, we'll talk about that. We'll definitely get into some details. And I think it's important to understand that that's what this whole show is about. And I wanted to start it off in that way because just like Dr. King, that was his main purpose. You know, obviously civil rights was his passion, but what he was placed here was for Jesus, you know, and for, you know, preaching a Christian-like message, you know, within the context of civil rights. So definitely we want to honor him, and we'll talk a little bit more about homosexuality and how that plays into entertainment and how the government and the mainstream media is really pushing that and really shoving it down our throats, to be honest with you guys, and, you know, what we as Christians can do to combat that, because it is a problem. And I will talk about even some very specific ways that the powers that be are using entertainment, and specifically in the VMAs last night or the other night when and I don't even give it away, but you know they were doing very calculated things, and it's weird, and you really have to pray for discernment, because a lot of this stuff goes over so many people's heads, but you know, people like myself, very few people, it's like, you know, we see it clearly. It's like 1 + 1 = 2, whereas other people, it's like, oh, this means something totally different. No, I see everything for exactly what it is, and we're going to talk about it on tonight. So if you're not excited, guys, you should be, because I'm telling you right now, tonight's show is going to most likely will be the best show in 6 years, over 1,000 episodes, one of the most comprehensive, one of the most informative and educationally and even entertaining that we've ever done. So I'm just being honest with you. Definitely stay around, stay up. We most likely will need every minute of these 3 hours. I can almost guarantee. I want to talk about, to start it off, you know, what is this whole thing for? You know, we're talking about blasphemy and entertainment. Well, like, who are these people? What is it? Somebody in the group asked the other night. He said, well, you know, what is the Illuminati? What does it do? Like, what is that? And, you know, obviously I shared the link from our show on Satanism in the industry, which definitely explained it. So hopefully, you know, he and many of you listened to that show, because it's an all-time classic and will tell you everything you need to know. But I mentioned the other night that I watched a show called Prison Break, and many of you watched it back in the day when it was on, you know, on Fox, I think 8, 9 o'clock, something like that. But if you don't know, it's about what we're talking about tonight. It's actually, the whole plot revolves around the Illuminati, you know, who actually controls everything. And it's funny because if you watch the show, you know that the organization that they're speaking about, they call it the Company. And, you know, the Company, I looked that up. If you Google the Company on Prison Break, it, you know, on Wikipedia, it will give you, you know, like a definition of what the Company is and what it stands for. I want to just read it to you because it's a good introduction to where we're going to go tonight. This is what Wikipedia describes the Company, a.k.a. the Illuminati, as. The Company is a fictional, covert organization with evil intentions and motivations featured in the American television drama thriller series Prison Break. It's a secret group of multinationals known almost exclusively by those who work for them, with the exception of those opposing them. Its influence and power over individuals stretches to the White House, influencing every decision this country makes. Its main goal is to impose a new world order to maintain control over the country's economy and tyrannize the world. The company has thus far also been described as a group of multinational corporate interests and as a cabal of corporations influencing everything that goes on in the United States. Is that not interesting to you? Do you find anything interesting about how Wikipedia describes the company?
Yeah, I do. It's the Illuminati. It's so crazy. But it's funny. A lot of people probably, I mean, that probably went over so many people's heads. But that's
right.
Exactly what we talk about.
If you guys Google it out, print it out, and really read it again for yourselves, because I want you guys to understand, this is exactly what we're talking about. It's amazing that these people will put a fictional organization. It's funny how Wikipedia makes it clear that it's a fictional covert organization, which is exactly what the Illuminati is, that it says influences, and this is where we're going to go tonight. It influences everything that goes on in the United States, whether that's politics, whether that's the economy, whether that's sports, okay, whether that's television, commercials, movies, everything, guys. If you look at, you know, all of your favorite sports stars throwing up 666, and you're going to hear that term thrown around a lot tonight, 666. If you, you know, Google, you know, look up the scripture, what the Bible refers to in, you know, as 666, it'll be the mark of the beast, the sign of the Antichrist, the end of the world. You know, the devil will present himself as God, and the way you will know it, his sign will be 666. This is straight, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, definitely do some research on what exactly 666 is. And so when you see a lot of these celebrities throwing up the quote-unquote okay sign, it's really not an okay sign. It's actually a symbolic that, hey, we are down with, you know, this satanic agenda. We subscribe to that. This is us showing our allegiance, saying, hey, we represent you, meaning the Illuminati, meaning the people who literally worship, you know, the devil. And I know it may sound a little bit weird, but if you look at the, you know, it should be obvious, but if it's not, if you make the sign right now as I'm doing, make the okay sign, you know, maybe the kappa sign, whatever you want to call it, you know, it actually is three sixes. You know, you have the circle. Then you have the 1-6, the 2-6, meaning your other three fingers. It should be, you know what I mean? You guys get it. That means six, that's the symbol, okay? If you do some research, you'll know it's uniformly known as the 666 sign. Now, the second part of that is you can see understand, guys, every celebrity who is a celebrity can be Googled and can be found throwing up the 666 sign. You know, or some variation of it. Other people may show their allegiance by doing the covering of one eye, as I'm sure many of you guys see. A lot of album covers, a lot of magazine covers, things like that. You see them finding new and creative ways to either throw up the 666 or, you know, covering up the eye, which is symbolic of the all-seeing eye of Horus, which you can find on the back of the dollar bill, which also, you know, they say money is the root of all evil. Well, that itself is indicative of Satan. You know, and so this is what's going on out here. So I just want to give you guys a brief explanation of you know, an overview. Understand it's, you know, that is in no way, you know, a complete explanation. But like I said, I just wanted to, for the purposes of tonight, so you at least know what we're talking about if you're totally unfamiliar with this, I want to just give you a general idea. And here's a scripture that speaks directly to what we're talking about right now. And many of you know this one. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, you know, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Scroll back up a little bit to the definition of the company, a.k.a. the Illuminati. It says, a group of multi-corporate interests and corporations that influence everything that goes on in the United States. They control everything that goes on in the United States. The Bible says the rulers of this dark world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Are you guys seeing a connection there? The people in high places, the rulers of this world, are the problem who we as believers and Christians wrestle against. Those are the problems because, again, it's wicked. It's not ordained by God. That means it's wicked. It's evil. Satan is evil. People worship Satan. You know, I'm trying to break this down so it's as clear as possible. I don't want anyone to leave tonight's show as being confused. But if you can't see the connection between the Illuminati and Ephesians 6:12, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, it should be crystal clear. Courtney, is there any doubt? Have I explained it accurately?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I understand it perfectly. I do.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm being clear. You know, and so there's that. So you have, that's the scripture that for me is like the foundation. Because a lot of people actually think, like, you know, we look at the, you know, this race war, as they want to call it. You know, they're like, oh my gosh, we've got to do a march on Washington, black versus white and race versus, you know, it's just, you know, that's not the problem. The problem isn't about black versus white. The real problem here is evil versus good, God versus Satan, you know. And so once we look at it from that perspective, we as Christians can say, wow, it's not about being persecuted as blacks. It's about being persecuted as Christians. There are people who are attacking our faith, our God, Jesus. He's under attack. He's being mocked at every chance by people just like the president, by the president himself. You understand? And it goes, that's how high it goes up. Because, again, remember it says the company, the Illuminati, the people who run this world, you know, they control everything. Multinationals, and this isn't an American thing. Well, this is, you know, Britain, this is the Vatican, this is Italy, all these alliances, this whole global alliance that will one day, Revelations, the book of Revelations calls for, will one day form the New World Order. And it's going to be everyone who you see now who is an ally of the United States. You know, and people who are, that's why, you know, there's this whole push to take over the rest of the world so it can truly be world domination. You know, all these wars, it's all to get them under the quote-unquote umbrella. It's not about, you know, oil, although that's what they're making it about, but it's really about, hey, we've got to control the whole world to develop a new world order, which will happen. You know, if you don't know about Revelations, read the book of read the Bible, open your Bible. This all will happen. I posted a funny, you know, a lot of people didn't seem to be, you know, kind of went over some people's heads, but last night I put together a little illustration to kind of show what's going on. You know, people don't seem to get it. You know, that whole Obama forward, moving America forward, moving the world forward. Yeah, it's moving us forward towards the end of the world, towards the book of Revelations, towards how things will be. A lot of these laws that are being passed are all a step in that direction of being able to carry out the New World Order. And Barack Obama has actually had quotes speaking directly to the New World Order. The Pope has had quotes speaking directly towards the importance of forming a New World Order. Google Barack Obama speaking about the New World Order and see what comes up and listen to exactly what he says about us, the importance of us laying the foundation for forming a new world order. Listen to what George Bush had to say about forming a new world order. Listen to what the former Pope said about a new world order. And then when you're done with all those things, open the Bible and see what God says about the new world order. And then be like, wait a minute, all these rulers of the dark, who's the ruler of the United States? Obama, Bush. Who's the ruler of the church? The Pope. All of these people are in on it. Tony Blair, Britain. Google what he says about the New World Order. All of the Bush Sr. These are the rulers of the world. This is deep stuff, Courtney. Are you following me?
Oh, yeah. It's very deep. But here's the funny part about it. Even though, you know, we've discussed that, you know, the New World Order, you know, that's the agenda, I think it's going over a lot of people's heads for a lot of reasons, but the main would be, you know, they'll use distractions. So all these laws that we're talking about that's being passed, that's getting us closer and closer to the end, you know, we're not really seeing that, you know, as it's being passed. It's always something in the news. It's always the George Zimmerman case or something that happened, something that will take, you know, distract us while they're behind the scenes passing all of these laws. And that's why it's important just to do your research and just be really informed about what exactly is going on in this world. So, you know, when it happens, you won't look up and be surprised. Like, oh, I didn't even expect that. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All this stuff, you know, that all these, you know, the Trayvon Martin situation, like Courtney said, big distraction. But really, I would encourage everyone, really encourage you to look at the laws that were passed the week of the Boston bombings. There were some major, major laws that Obama had passed that seriously infringe upon our rights as Americans and totally defy the Constitution as far as privacy goes. And really look at what was passed, what kind of snuck by us the whole week that we were paralyzed by this whole Boston situation, manhunt. All right, so there's that. Now, like I said, I want to talk about the Video Music Awards, okay? Obviously, we're talking about blasphemy in the entertainment industry on tonight's show. And so to do that, we're going to talk about the awards, a lot of other things, symbolism, just so you know what to look for. One thing that I saw recently was, and I mentioned it the other night briefly, but I want to expand on it and elaborate tonight, was that Kanye West interview on Kris Jenner's, the Kardashians' mom. She has a talk show, and Kanye West did an interview on there. And, you know, there was a lot of blasphemy there, guys, you know, as we talked about briefly the other night. But, you know, if you guys didn't notice the set, even if you watch the Kardashians, if you look at her house, let me go back a little bit. When you make a decision that you want to be a celebrity, okay, meaning you want to have worldwide fame, you want to have millions in, you know, of dollars, you want to be seen on every media outlet, that does not come for free. That doesn't come just from having talent. That doesn't come from just being a nice person. It comes from making a decision that you are willing to literally sell your soul and sacrifice your beliefs and go along with this worldwide global agenda, okay? And to do that, they say, well, okay, yeah, you say, okay, yeah, I go along with that. But the question is, how do you know? It's like, well, how do they know? You know, you have to – there are things that have to be done. You know, there are things that you have to do to show them that you're down with the program. So what there are several, you know, blatant symbols and images that we're going to go over real quick, because throughout the show there you need to understand how often you will see this stuff. There's several main things that I just want to throw out there. One of them, which we're about to talk about with Kris Jenner, her set, her house, the tile. And you can Google this stuff. Look this stuff up. You know, if you know about Satanism, you're very familiar with the black and white checkered pattern. Okay, the black and white checkered pattern, if you hopefully you know what I'm talking about, it is a clear Illuminati, you know, image that they use. It's just like it's one of their things. It's what they, you know, how they represent what they're about, how they're seen. Like if there's a show and they want to show their, I mean, that's it. That black and white checkered, it's very satanic, just so you know. And you'll see it all throughout entertainment. All types of areas, you know, whether it's commercials, television shows, movies, you know, randomly the house will be the floor tile. Some people may be saying, well, no, I have that in my house. No, listen, there's a lot of stuff that you may see behind the scenes from non-celebrities, and it doesn't mean a thing. But when you're talking about, you know, I always tell people, different symbols mean different things to different organizations. And understand, if you know about Satanism, that is one of their clear images that they use to identify themselves, the black and white checkerboard. So that is obviously, you know, the Kardashians, one of the most recognizable names in all of the world. Kris Jenner, you know, this is something she's looking to do a new talk show. So they say, okay, hey, this is how I'll represent. I'll have my floor, the black and white checkered. So Kanye, did you notice that, Courtney, before we keep moving?
Oh, yeah, I did.
you know, even a lot of gospel singers. If you guys look at Vicky Winans, she actually has a one of her videos. The floor is like, you know, in the video she's throwing up the double 666 signs with her hands, but there's, you know, she's also performing, you know, on a black and white checkered, you know, background. And Google that. Just Google Vicky Winans 666 video and, or Illuminati similar, whatever you want, and it'll come right up and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And so there's that. Also, another popular way that they represent the colors of the satanic flag, if you're unfamiliar, this is all common knowledge, well documented over the years, a clear symbol of the satanic church, their flag is, the colors are black, white, red, black, white, and silver. That's, you know, that is the Illuminati symbolism. That is, those are their colors. That is the colors of the satanic flag. Red, black, white, and silver. So, you know, if you, a lot of you probably, oh my gosh, now it makes sense. All these celebrities are always wearing red, black, white, and silver, right? I mean, hopefully you've seen that. It's obvious if you haven't. I was just watching T.I. and Tiny, like literally right before the show, it happened to be on it, and what colors is Toya wearing? I mean, Tiny wearing? Red, black, white, and silver. You know, I mean, the whole VMAs, the whole color scheme, Justin Timberlake comes out, red, black, white, and silver. I mean, we could go on literally all day. Everything was red, black, white, and silver. Robin Thicke, right, at the VMAs. What was his suit of, Courtney? What colors?
It was black and white, and it was so obvious, too. So
right.
Obvious.
And some black and white. Now, obviously, you know, you might say some of the skeptics, the naysayers, well, it wasn't checkered. Listen, guys, I mean, they, you know, that's, if you don't see what I'm talking, black and white, like, bam, like, that color scheme is like, that was, like, supposed to be the variation, because you're not going to always get it be 100%, because they're very discreet. They still, at the end of the day, if you look back, if you scroll up to the definition, it says it's a, they say a fictional, but it's a covert organization with evil intentions and motivations. So if you're a covert, and covert, if you're unfamiliar, means secret. If you're a secret organization with evil intentions, it would behoove you to be as discreet as possible when you're dealing with people who are a part of that. So they're faced with the task, you know, of showing their allegiance, but also doing their best to, you know, keep the organization as secretive as possible. Can't be blatant, but although as of late, they have become very blatant. People like Beyonce, blatantly throwing up sixes. John Cena, that's his whole, you know, symbol right there, sixes. You know, and now they got these little kids doing it. And that's the goal. That's the evil intentions and motivations. So there's that. Now, you also have the, what else? Just so you know, like the devil horns. Obviously, Satan has horns, you know, as far as the you know, the media depiction of him. So a lot of people will find new and creative ways to give themselves horns. Now, if you look at Sierra, she was wearing recently a baseball cap with built-in devil horns. If you Google Sierra hat with horns, clearly. If you look at Eminem on the flyer that I posted on Facebook, he's doing the devil horn symbol with his fingers, and he's putting it on the top of his head to, obviously, you know, give himself devil horns. I mean, you know, and that's the goal. You know, like if you look around, you know, we're talking about blasphemy tonight. We're looking at, you look at people like Rick Ross and Meek Mill and, you know, Wale and a lot of these rappers, Lil Wayne, Birdman. If you notice, there's everything is fire. You know, everything is red. Red, black, white, and silver, but specifically red to symbolize fire, because these people are, you know, they find it to be cool and to be entertaining to depict themselves and project themselves as Satan themselves. They will do a lot of performances that will kind of, like Beyonce's Super Bowl performance. If you look at it, she had a whole bunch of fire, you know, in her performance. But if you scroll, you know, not like, if you back the camera up, it would appear that she was performing and the fire surrounded the crowd with their hands up. So what she was doing, that was symbolic of her being like a god or Satan himself, and people were all underneath her burning in hell, screaming for help. And so that's these are the type of images that these celebrities are passionate about projecting forth, and it's the whole foundation of Satanism. That's what I'm saying. If you a lot of people say, well, what are you talking about? Well, you know, that's if you don't, you have to really understand what Satanists believe. You have to understand what their whole purpose is. It's not that they necessarily hate God, or excuse me, it's not that they love Satan. It's that they hate God and are passionate about projecting images that God would clearly not be happy with. You know, God loves us, and he wants us all to be saved, so much so that he sent his only begotten son to die for us. And so he wants us all to go to heaven, but unfortunately, some people will perish who don't believe in hell. So, and that saddens God, and there's tons of scriptures that speak to that. And so if you are projecting yourself with fire, you know, meaning to symbolize fire and brimstone in hell, people, you know, perishing in the eternal lake of fire, well, that's obviously, you know, mocking God. Say, okay, God, you're pissed off. You hate that. That saddens you. Well, we're going to go ahead and make everything red to show how much we love pissing you off and saddening you. This is really deep, man. You know, it's that serious. You know, this is not a joke. This is not something that God takes lightly. And you know, like I said, we'll share some actual scriptures a little bit later on. In fact, I want to throw out one. I'm going to probably repeat this throughout the course of the night. But, you know, a lot of people, well, we'll do a couple. But one in particular, and this is probably one of my favorite of all time. It speaks directly to what we're talking about this evening. This is Luke 12:10. That says, understand it, listen closely, because this is very important, and it goes against what a lot of people believe, you know, but this is what the Word of God says. It says in Luke 12:10, and I posted this on Facebook, and everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And again, what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about blasphemy, right? So everyone and everything that we're talking about tonight, which is blasphemy, according to the Word of God, Jesus Christ himself, will not be forgiven. Doesn't matter what you do. You understand? I mean, that's pretty serious right there. So when we talk about Beyonce, when people, you know, laugh at Jay-Z calling himself Hova, when people, Kanye West is calling himself Yeezus, that's a mockery of Jesus Christ. That's blasphemy. The Bible says, well, guess what? They will not be forgiven. They will spend eternity burning in hell, in the eternal lake of fire. Is that not, that gives me chills down my back to know that, because you know, it's, you know, you always think that you know, certain things, you can always ask for forgiveness and, you know, it's no big deal and it'll be okay. But here it says it won't be okay. And there's certain things, yes, everybody wants to say all sin is equal. No, all sin is not equal. Some sins are forgivable, as you see here, others are not. Blasphemy is not forgivable. And again, this is right from the Word of God. Any thoughts on that, Courtney?
That's so deep. I'll be honest, I didn't even know about that. Well, I didn't probably, that particular scripture, I probably just didn't, you know, think, you know, very deeply about it because I used to think, honestly, I thought that you could be forgiven for just about anything. Like, I thought as long as you repented, you know, you were going to go to heaven. But that's amazing, you know, to hear that scripture read because it just shows how real it is out, you know, how real it is out there. You know, God's not playing with people.
Right. So. And here's, listen, it gets deeper than that. Because not only will people who blaspheme not be forgiven, okay, not that he's just going to be mad at you and he's going to turn his back on you and will be mad at you and won't forgive you, but it says here in Nahum, and I read this from time to time here on the show, but it says that God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and the Lord is furious, and that the Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for those enemies. So listen to what we're saying. It's kind of like this. Courtney, if let's say me and you were cool, me and you were friends, and you betray me, you know, and you do something like, you, let's say you delete me off Facebook, you start talking all types of trash, and I'm like, okay, we're no longer friends. And so I'm just like, I don't mess with Courtney no more. But, and that could be the end of it. That would be the end of it. But with God, that's not the end of it. He doesn't just say, okay, I don't mess with her no more. I don't mess with Kanye West. I don't mess with Jay-Z no more. I'm not going to forgive him. Nah, he says, nah, it's cool. He says, I'm not just going to not mess with you no more. I'm going to have revenge on you. I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be furious, and I'm going to take vengeance on my enemies, the people who blaspheme. I'm going to reserve my wrath specifically for those people. Everyone else gets a pass and can be forgiven because Jesus Christ died for our sins. But my wrath, the same wrath that was present in the Old Testament, is going to be specifically reserved for the people who we're going to talk about on tonight's show. That's crazy. It's going to be one big wrath party on Judgment Day. I hope you guys are getting this stuff. People think it's a joke. It's not a joke. You know what I'm saying? So I actually think it's funny, to be honest with you guys, because I know where I'm going. You know what I mean? And I have no sympathy for people who blaspheme, because you don't have to do it. You know, the only people who blaspheme is because they're trying to fit into, you know, some type of clique. You know, some type of, they're sacrificing their love for Jesus Christ and their respect for God for money, for YouTube hits, and for, you know, Twitter followers and Facebook fans, and for a couple $1 million. Meek Mill said he would sell his soul. They asked him, would he sell his soul for a Maserati? He said, nah. They said, what about $100 million? He said, probably. You would sell out God for $100 million? I wouldn't. But Google his lyrics. That's what he said. He said, they asked me, would I sell my soul for a Maserati? I said, no. He said, for $100 million. He said, probably. That's one of the most craziest lines I've ever heard in my whole life. And that's from Meek Mills. That's a direct quote. You want to look it up. Is that not crazy? $100 million, that's it? That's all your soul is worth?
This is crazy. It's like, it seems like they're getting bolder and bolder, you know, as time goes on. Maybe it's always been like that, but it just seems like people are just off the chain, like, now with the blasphemy. It's just, it's crazy. And they have no remorse for it.
Right, exactly. No remorse. No remorse whatsoever. We haven't even talked about anything yet. This is all an introduction. Kanye West interview. He comes on there blaspheming. This dude calls himself Jesus. Listen, there's nothing more blasphemous than that. Not to call yourself Jesus, but to make a mockery and just change the wording up to present yourself as a god. And then this guy comes on the talk show with the audacity to say, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, he says, I'm trying to raise my family with Christian values, yet this is someone who is blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ. Sitting on top of a black and white satanic checkered pattern with a WWJ D bracelet, talking about some, yeah, this was given to me because I'm a Christian. You know, that's crazy. You know what I mean? And this dude has the audacity to sit up there changing up his voice, trying to, you know what I'm saying, trying to fit in, trying to project some type of wholesome image, when this dude is sitting up there about to perform on the MTV Music Awards in the most blasphemous thing possible. Now, this is where we really get into it. Now, see, a lot of y'all don't realize what he was doing. I see all this stuff. Some people may say, these guys are brilliant. Let me just say something real quick. Beyonce is brilliant. Jay-Z is brilliant. Kanye West is brilliant. These people are not idiots. But guess what? I'm brilliant too. That's why I can see all this stuff very clearly, that nothing is as it seems. You understand? These guys are so smart. They will find the most clever and discreet ways to blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ, but only certain individuals who are up on hip-hop, but at the same time, even further up on the Bible, like myself and like certain others, that's the only way you'll catch it. See, I grew up listening to hip-hop, but then at the same time, I'm very familiar with the Bible. That's the only way you're going to be able to check this stuff out. So if you look here, Kanye West on the MTV Music Awards. Hopefully you guys saw it. This dude is performing in the darkness, extra hype, but he's in a forest. You guys notice that? That's where he was a bunch of trees around. He's calling himself Yeezus. Jared Leto, now I don't even know who this guy is. Evidently he's some type of actor. But if you guys caught the introduction, he said, and this is, you know, we're living in the last days, guys, because literally the dude gets up there and says, amen, hallelujah, which is the highest form of praise. You know, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Make some noise, everybody, for Yeezus himself, Kanye West. Could you believe seeing that in front of your eyes, Courtney, on national television?
No, I couldn't. And the thing is, not only was he saying it, he got the whole audience to join him. It was like this big joke. You know what I'm saying? It's like, are you for real right now? Like, y'all, you're serious.
Like, I was laughing at that. I thought it was funny. I'm going to be honest with you. I think a lot of this stuff is funny now. You know what I mean? I think it's funny. I'm like, okay, because they think it's funny. And anyone who thinks it's funny, you know, they deserve what they get. I'm just being real with you. There will be no mercy. There will be no clemency. You know, there will be exactly what the word says will be. It will be Jesus Christ's wrath, God's wrath, and vengeance. You know? And so, yeah, laugh now. Have your fun. I see some calls online. We'll go to the lines in a little bit. 646-200-0366. Hold your calls or comments. But I just want to make this point about what we saw specifically from Kanye West at the awards. He's performing in the woods. What does that sound like? What does that sound like is going on? If you go back to the word, Courtney, I'm going to put you on the spot here. From your, I mean, is that familiar at all? Did Jesus Christ do anything like that?
Yeah, it reminds me of Jesus Christ during the 40-day fast when he was in the wilderness. That's what it reminds me of.
Right, exactly. Let me read. So there was definitely that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, praying and, you know, going through some things, you know, really having fear about having to carry out his, you know, what he was called to do, you know, asking God, you know, is there another way, but let your will be done. And I want to read something to y'all. This is deep stuff right here, because this is what I believe is what Kanye West was trying to depict here as he's rapping Extra Hype in the wilderness as he's presenting himself as God, as Jesus Christ, as Yeezus, which is a clear mockery. Everyone knows that. But this is from, I want to read y'all something, a passage from Luke 22:39-46. Then we'll go right to the phone lines, which says, Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. Upon reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. After that, he withdrew about a stone throw beyond them. You know, he kind of fell back a little bit. He kind of wandered off, went to go do his own thing. Jesus Christ knelt down and he prayed. He prayed and said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. He prayed so hard that his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. That's how much he sweat. When he rose from prayer, he went back to the disciples, and he found them asleep, exhausted from their sorrow. He said, yo, why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And so, scroll up a little bit. In anguish, he prayed earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. This is Jesus in the woods, okay? He fell back from the rest of his people. If you look at the performance, when you have most people performing at the VMAs, they perform on stage in front of people. But if you noticed, Kanye West withdrew himself, not far enough, not super far away, but just a little away, to where it appeared as if he wasn't performing in front of people, but he was by himself off in the woods somewhere performing. Are you guys seeing any similarities there? If you don't, there's something wrong. No disrespect, but there's something wrong if you don't see a connection there. And it was as he's presenting himself as Jesus, as God himself, these are the types of things that these guys find to be entertaining and humorous. But making a mockery and blaspheming, as you see, as you heard earlier, will not be forgiven. Any thoughts on that connection, Courtney?
Yeah, I mean, it's so deep, and I wasn't able to make the connection until, like, maybe 5 minutes ago when you first mentioned it, like, what that performance was about. But here's the crazy part, though. So even though, you know, he was trying to portray himself as Jesus Christ, if you notice, like, okay, he was retreating himself from the audience. Okay, we talked about that. But did you notice the light that was shining on him was red?
Oh, of course.
And it was just like, wow. And so it was just so obvious to me and to you, you know, that was blasphemy.
Right. And again, listen, don't take my word for any of this stuff. I don't want anyone to just hear this, okay, they don't. No, like, pray about this stuff. Really, you know, I don't know what your relationship with God is like. I don't know if you read the word. But when you read the word, you know, and when you, you know, have that relationship with God, you're going to have discernment on certain things. This stuff is clear to me. This whole show was just like, I did this in less than 24 hours. I put this whole outline together because God just showed me all these scriptures. He makes this stuff crystal clear in a way that I can just present it in a, you know, intelligent manner. But this stuff was all given to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm working all day. I don't have time to put together all this stuff, Google, like, all types of scriptures. All this stuff was just good. I'm just being honest with you. You know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, how it's that confirmation. So, again, well, let's see what the phone lines, what's going on in the phone line. 646-200-0366. Hit the number one on your keypad if you have any comments, questions, or, you know, testimonies, feedback, whatever. 770 area code. Welcome to the Data on Tolbert Show.
Hello?
770, are you there?
Yes.
Welcome. What's going on? Do you have a question or comment?
I want to make a comment. It had to do with I saw a picture of Jay-Z, Kanye West, and Nas, and they tried to make it look like they were supposed to be like the Trinity. And I just thought that was like, wow. Like, when I saw that, I know I heard about Kanye and Jay-Z, but I just never thought about Nas being in with the group. And when I saw the picture, it just really hit me when it just looked like, oh, so now y'all trying to be like a Trinity, like the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
There you go. That's exactly what they're doing. I'm glad you saw that. Where are you calling in from?
Georgia.
Georgia, I appreciate the call and the feedback. I mean, see, and that's something that I saw, and that's what I want to hear tonight. You know, or disagreements. You know, listen, you guys know me. If you disagree, or you, because I got the Bible right here, right next to me. So, you know, definitely call in if you agree and you have things to share. But also, if you disagree or you don't see something, maybe you feel like I got it wrong. Hit me up. You know, phone lines are open. This ain't no, you know, I don't know what shows y'all used to watching, but I love, you know, calls and all types of stuff. But that's exactly what we're here for tonight, trying to present themselves as some type of crazy trilogy. You know, Trinity. You understand that? And that's not, you know what it is. It's blasphemy. But great, excellent call. Again, 646-200-0366. Hit the number one on your keypad, and we can take more calls. See a caller from the 870 area code. Welcome to the Data on Tolbert Show.
Hello?
Yes, hello, welcome.
Hi, I just had a comment real quick. Have you ever heard of the movie Metropolis?
I have.
Yes, it was brought up to my attention of how, like, stars like Beyonce and, like, Lady Gaga and Madonna have dressed up like this robot, which was in the movie, which symbolized, brainwashing people to do things. I just wondered if he had any comments on that as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing that to my attention. One of my favorite YouTube video of all time does, if you don't know what she's speaking of, It's a great video that shows you exactly how, which we'll get to in a little bit, how a lot of these performances are actually rituals. They're coming-of-age rituals. And the one that she's talking about, is they went into great detail on how Beyonce dressed up as that robot. And in the movie, the movie showed a young woman dressed in a robot, but she in a sexy robot outfit, where she was mesmerizing the entire audience with her movements. And it showed them in some type of trance. And Beyonce actually came out in one of her performances in that same exact outfit, doing the same exact moves, having the same exact effect, you know, and it was symbolic of what her purpose is here. It's to mesmerize and confuse and distract both men and women, you know, and so listen to what I'm saying to you. Google the Wicked music industry. Just Google that. It'll come right up, I promise you. It's a video, and it even talks a great deal about Michael Jackson and how he was murdered and then why he was murdered. And it's about 30 minutes long, but you watch that video and your whole life will be changed, I promise you. Matter of fact, if I get a couple seconds, I'll post it in the Friends of the Dayton Tolbert Show group, and it'll tell you exactly what she just was referring to. You've seen that video back in the day, Courtney, right?
Yeah, it's been a while, though, but I know what she was referring to, yep.
That's one of the first videos that really opened up my eyes. And it's like,
yeah,
it's one of those videos that's literally irrefutable. You know, like it literally shows you how they symbolize Beyonce going into the car and the Crazy in Love, Jay-Z setting the car on fire, the car blowing up, the old Beyonce dies, she reemerges, you know, wilding out, and right at that moment, both Beyonce and Jay-Z, at the exact moment where she reemerges after the car is destroyed and the old Beyonce dies, they both throw up double 666s at that exact second. It's a split. Sometimes I'll watch a video and I'll try to catch it with my cell phone and then I'll post it up. It's so quick. It took me about 15 tries just to catch the exact shot of both Jay-Z. It's the only time you will ever see Jay-Z throw up double 666. He's been very careful over the course of his career. I don't care how much you Google, you will never see Jay-Z throwing up a 666 sign. I guess he's at a point where he's above it, but that is the only time that I've seen, maybe you know, but I seriously doubt it, that you will ever see that. Whereas every other celebrity, they do it on a regular basis, not Jay-Z, and that's literally the only time ever. And I posted it in the Friends group. It's in my Celebrity 666 folder. Maybe I'll dig it out, where I have hundreds of celebrities that can all be seen throwing up the same exact sign. Is that not amazing? Like, I personally, and you can just Google everyone, and you can see it right for yourself, but I have a folder with literally hundreds of the celebrities throwing up the same exact symbol, yet people will actually try to argue you down and say, oh, no, this isn't what it is.
Yeah, it's just a coincidence. I hear that a lot. I mean, it's too many people doing it for it to be a coincidence. But that's it's funny you brought that up about Jay-Z. I had never noticed him ever throw up the 666 before. So if you can find that, post it definitely, because I want to see that.
Oh, yeah. I've posted it before. I'll find it. I'll dig it out the crates, and I will post it by the end of the night. I will post. You know, it's crazy. You never will see it. I've never seen it, and you never will see it either, except that one time, which was to symbolize him bringing his woman into the fold, and that was her, you know, rite of passage. Beyonce dies, Sasha Fierce is born. That's what it is. It's crazy stuff right here, man. I'll probably be shot dead tomorrow just for doing this show, but, hey, if you know what I mean, it is what it
Don't
is.
Don't joke like that.
I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Go get in my car, a bomb go over. So I'm just, you know, it is what it is, though. This is the type of stuff that you got. And this is really, honestly, all jokes aside, you know, obviously that would be unfortunate, but, you know, clearly, you know, but the reality is that's what true leaders are about, you know, and I'm not trying to compare myself to anyone, but this is something I'm so passionate about, you know, Jesus Christ, educating people about Jesus Christ and the evil that exists in the world. I would be willing to die for that. You know, and if there's nothing in your life right now that you're willing to die for, that you're that passionate about, there's a problem. You know what I'm saying? I'm not judging anyone, but you need to self-reflect and examine your life and who you are and what you stand for if there's nothing that you're this passionate about. Okay? What else, though? So, obviously, that's the whole Kanye West performance. You know, and again, if you want to look, you know, look that scripture up and then go back and DVR, watch your DVR, MTV, you know, Luke 22:39 explains exactly where he took that from. Okay? Now, what else can we get into? Let's actually get into the actual VMAs. You know, after Kanye West, obviously Lady Gaga, well, you know, before that, Lady Gaga opened up the show. Now, Lady Gaga has been known for her Illuminati symbolism. Like, that's just, if you know anything about Lady Gaga, like, she's always throwing up the 666. She's always covering up one eye to show her allegiance, you know, all-seeing eye of Horus. I mean, you know, that's just every performance, everything she does, every album cover. Like, you could just Google and you'll find probably more stuff on her than anyone. It's very clear, all Illuminati symbolism, demonic, satanic, all that stuff. And if you, you know, watch the performance, she, in this performance, it was very discreet because I was looking for stuff. And she threw up, well, a couple times, she threw up the 666 and covered up, did it while covering her left eye, just to kind of, did you see that? Did you catch it?
Yeah, actually, I was taking notes. I did catch that. She did it, like, in the middle of one of her dances or something.
Yeah, exactly. I was taking notes, too. I'm looking right at my notes from when me and my wife were watching. And that's what I'm saying. If you're looking for this stuff, and most times if you're not looking for it, you'll still see it. But certainly if you're looking for it, you absolutely will see it. She threw it up and covered up her – she did the two for one. You know what I mean? She threw up the sixes and covered up the left eye. That's like the, you know, that's when you're really passionate about this stuff. You got a special place in hell for people who really go out of their way to do that. Quick thing I just was thinking about when I told you guys before, but you know how BET did that whole national search for, you know, the new host for BET. And right when they were doing the national search, you know, I watched it a little bit. But Pageon, now they had all types of women on there, you know, going for it. And then they narrowed it down to, like, I think, like six women or something like that. And on one show, before they announced the winner, they had them all come out. And this was like two or three shows before they were actually going to announce the winner. Pageon, who, you know, ultimately became one of the hosts, and this was, again, well before they announced the winner. She comes out, throws up the 666 sign, and covers up her eye at the same time. She did the same thing Lady Gaga did, the same exact motion. And I posted on Facebook 3 days before they announced the winner. And you can scroll down my timeline if you want to. And I post, that's also in my folder. I'll post it later if you want me to, you know, in case you think I'm lying. You know, and I said on Facebook, okay, I cannot, they haven't announced yet, but I can guarantee you out of these six finalists, Pageon will be one of the hosts, because she basically has an arrangement where she showed her allegiance to Satan, clearly on national television. And lo and behold, who becomes the new host of 106 and Park?
Pageon.
There you go. You know what I'm saying, guys? And if you, I don't know if you guys watch it now, Bow Wow, who is also now the host, they got rid of all the, you know, Pageon and the rest of the crew, but he can regularly be seen throwing up the 666 sign on a regular basis. And I often, you know, a couple times over the last couple months, I've taken a little, paused it, taken a little snapshot, posted it in the group so you guys can see, like, whoa, what are you doing, Bow Wow? Like, what's up with that? You just talking. You just going to, like, blatantly just throw up. Like, what is that? Well, you know what it is. He's showing his allegiance. See, what you guys don't understand, you don't get put into those types of positions without doing. Some people say, well, so are you saying all celebrities sell their souls? No, I'm saying to become a celebrity, you have to sell your soul. That's what people don't get. The people who determine who is going to be a celebrity, who is going to be on the magazine covers, who's going to host these shows, who's going to get millions of dollars, that's already predetermined based on who has, you know, signed up, who has, you know, made the necessary sacrifice. You know, so it's not that the celebrities do it. No, that's how you become a celebrity. Hopefully you guys understand that. It's the opposite of what many people think. You don't, and I'm not knocking, I mean, if that's the choice you want to make, You know, and the reason why I'm so passionate, and I thank God every day, because at one point in my life, not so long ago, that was me. See, and I know, and I you know, I try not to say too much, but I literally was right there. There was a point in my personal life where I was offered an opportunity, and I you know, I chose Jesus Christ, and that's why I do what I do. If you guys notice, there was a time where we, you know, even you've seen it. For many of you who've listened to this show, we've had all types of celebrity guests on this show. Every author you can think of, the Drew Hills, the OJs, Jagged Edge, every reality star, a lot of these reality stars have been on this show. I've interviewed them here, you know. A lot of celebrities, like just about all those Tatiana Ali. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. You don't need me to, you know, tell you. But that was the preliminary. I was interacting with every publicist, you know, of these major stars. They were all trying, hey, we want to have so-and-so on your show. They've gotten the message now. They don't really inbox me. But if there was, my wife will tell you, I was getting, you know, the celebrity publicists were contacting me every day. And there came a point where I had to make a decision. Okay, am I going to go full steam ahead with this and take this show to another level, or am I going to live for Jesus Christ? And it was a very tough decision for me. But because one of the things that a lot of these artists don't realize is that they're chasing something that is unattainable, and that's what I failed to realize. You know, what I mean by that is, you know, once you get fame, you get a taste of fame, you want more fame. When you get a little bit of money, you want more money. Jay-Z's on a race. He has, you know, he's worth $500 million, but he's on a race to see who can become the first billionaire in hip-hop. Him, Diddy, 50 Cent, they're all racing to see who can, you know, reach a billion, Dr. Dre. And so it's like, at what point is it enough? And so to keep going and going and going to maintain that fame, to maintain those riches, you have to make sacrifice after sacrifice to the point where you almost have nothing left. And that's where you start getting, you know, you notice everyone's having seizures and strokes and dying and suicides. It's because they're chasing something that's unattainable. And that misery that a lot of these, the Miley Cyrus, the Lindsay Lohans, I felt that sickness. Because it's like, oh, my God, you're chasing and chasing and chasing, and then you finally realize that even when you get what you think that you want, you really don't have what you want, and that's a depressing feeling, and you don't have God. And that's what these celebrities are going through. Chris Brown going through a lot of crap. Everybody's getting all skinny, losing weight, miserable, drugs, going to jail. That's no way to live. And a lot of people are envious, you know, of that. What does the Bible say? What was that scripture I posted earlier today? You know, it's easier. Listen to this. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's not impossible. If you notice there, it says, it didn't say it's impossible, but it says it's so hard. It's like a camel trying to go through the, which might as well be impossible, than for someone who's rich. So what does that mean about all these celebrities, Courtney? If that's unless they're camels who can fit through an eye of a needle, what does that mean for them?
That means they're going to hell.
Right. See, and people say, well, yeah, who are you to say if someone's going to hell? Well, I'm not saying anything, but if you Google Chris Brown net worth, Jay-Z net worth, Diddy net worth, $500 million, and then you look at what the Bible says about what it says about rich people, I mean, I don't make this stuff up. Like Courtney said, they're going to hell unless they can fit through the eye of a needle if then they're a camel. I mean, let me know if I'm missing something. But the word is very clear. So all y'all, you know, who entrepreneurs, I don't want to be rich. I used to. You know what I mean? But not anymore. I'm cool. You know? And the irony is that, you know, I'll put my hand on a Bible right now. If I won the lottery, you know, today for $300 million, I'd be good. You know, when I say I'd be good, I mean there's nothing that I want that I don't have that $300 million could get me. You know, like I said, I may upgrade the car, get a different house, but my life, I'd still be doing the show. I'd still be counseling, 7 to 8 people a day. You know, I'll still be helping people. You'll still see my Bible verses every morning. Nothing would change. And that's the key. So, but yeah, let's go back to the phone lines, though, man. 646-200-0366. We're talking tonight about blasphemy in entertainment. It's a deep stuff right here. What is this? 602 area code. Welcome to the Data on Tolbert Show.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me, and I appreciate that you guys are talking about such subject matter. But I wanted to go back to the point that you were making on the black and white. That is definitely one of the most common symbolisms for these secret societies, for this whole Illuminati thing, because everyone's wearing it. It was prevalent in last night's MTV show, but it's been prevalent, I would say, for about the last 3 or 4 MTV events, because all of these celebrities are now, as you mentioned, being introduced or being inducted into this level of lifestyle, where you'll continue to see them throughout more of the symbolism. You'll continue to see more of the red on their album covers, and it's very, very common and increasing. So if we just open our eyes, it's definitely, definitely there. And if we continue to talk about this, I think more people will appreciate it.
Thank you for calling in. Where are you calling in from?
I'm actually calling in from Arizona. And then if you could also touch on, I think it's definitely a spiritual warfare on all of us, but I think it's just not our entertainment. It seems like it's affecting all of our lives, from, you know, demoralizing us, and even into our food and food supply too, which I think is making us so responsive and making us unaware. So I think that these powers and these evil people, they're really attacking our spiritual needs and our physical needs. So continue to talk about it, and I'll continue to listen and spread the word too.
Thank you so much. And I would encourage everybody, man, like, stop being afraid to share these links and post this stuff on your page, man. I mean, you know, spread the word. There's a reason why this show has gone all over the world over the, you know, last 6 years. I mean, it's from you guys. You know, word of mouth. I don't advertise. I don't spend any money on advertisement. You know, people in Nigeria and Africa and China and Hong Kong, I mean, there's no way they should know about the Data on Tolbert Show, but God has spread the word for me. Tell you a quick story, and I tell this story from time to time real quick. When I was 21 in college, and I wasn't even really saved though like that, but, they had an altar call. I went up to church, or went up to the altar in church, and real quick, on my 21st birthday, I went up there, and a young woman was there preaching from another church, and she was a prophet, and I went up to the altar. She said, "Put your hands up." You know, I didn't know. I felt uncomfortable. I didn't know what I was doing. And so, I put my hands up, and she said, "Yeah, I just want to tell you something." She said that, you have a voice. And she didn't know me from a can of paint. Like, I'm out there in Western Pennsylvania. She was from somewhere totally different. And, you know, she said, "I don't know you, you don't know me, but, you know, I was told by God you have a voice that will be heard all over the world." She said, "That will be no problem." She said, "But just remember to always keep God first." Now, this was well before the books, well before the talk show, well before any of that stuff. And so that always stuck with me, that she prophesied and spoke that into my life. And next thing you know, we're over 3 million downloads on iTunes, you know, all over. So it's just a blessing. And that's why I keep God first, because I know that I have that responsibility to spread the word. I just want to share that with you. And you guys probably heard that story about 50 times, but I'll keep saying it. Hopefully it inspires someone. 714, welcome to the Data on Tolbert Show.
Hi.
Hello, mm-hmm. Welcome. Yes, welcome.
Hi, can you see? Okay. Hi, my name is Madeline. I was calling to make a comment about Beyonce, and I just want to tell you really quickly, or tell the listeners, I've always been a Beyonce fan ever since Destiny's Child. I sort of feel like she's like our generation, and we sort of grew up with her in the songs, and it seemed like every song, every time that she had a song, it seemed like I sort of identified with it. From back when Destiny's Child, like, she had Survivor, I sort of identified with that. When Bills, Bills, Bills came out, I had a boyfriend who, you know, couldn't pay my bills, and like every single album, it seemed like, you know, she was like, in a weird way, we had sort of a connection. Like, I was really feeling her music. And then, you know, like, I just thank God that my eyes have been opened. And I just feel, like, silly for even all that time that I wasted listening to all her music before. And it's just really sad because, like, it's like you said, it's just so blatant and it's so disrespectful. And it just, like, as a Christian, just sort of bubbles inside of you. Like, it sort of angers you. Like, you can't even believe, like, this stuff is actually going on. And I just feel for the young people who don't know. You know, I'm in my 30s, but, you know, a lot of young girls are coming up listening to this and, you know, and they're just glorifying her. And right after the Super Bowl, I did see something on, you know, one of those memes on the Internet, on the social network, and it said, thank Beyonce for waking us up this morning. And it had, like, a picture of what would be the body of Jesus and the robe and everything, but it had Beyonce's face in it. And I just couldn't believe, like, this has gotten to this point. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. And as Christians, we do need to stand up and say something and, you know, spread the word, because it's just so, and I can only imagine how God must feel, you know what I mean? Like, not these people, just how they're taking it and how they're just receiving and how they're glorifying her. Immediately when my eyes was open, I stopped all that. I remember I would listen to it in the car and, you know, washing dishes and working out and all this stuff. And I was like, you know what, I can't even listen to her music anymore. I can't even, like, even the music that I listened to before, I can't even listen to that anymore. It bothers me and sort of, like, boils my skin. And the same thing with Kanye West. He was, like, my favorite rapper. And it's like, I can't even fix my ears to even listening to that type of music anymore. And I just want to say one more thing, and I'm going to let you guys go. I was looking up the word diva. And, you know, that's another one of her songs, the Diva, Diva. You know, it sort of was like one of those songs to motivate women and all of this stuff. When you look at if you Google and you look at the meaning of what diva is, it just really made me realize, like, I don't want to be called a diva at all. At all.
What is a diva? What did it say?
It basically just, to make a long story short, just basically said that it was like, a diva was a person that was like old, like stronger than a man, that taken away from a man's masculinity, and just taking that and just becoming like, in just back in the days before biblical times, it was a term used for women who were like, I don't know if it was had anything to do with homosexuality and women like that, but it had to do with women like trying to be over more powerful than men, and, you know, like this whole movement of you know, feminism and stuff had like a direct link to that. And it was just like when I really heard, you know, and you know, people can go further into digging deeper because I'm not really explaining it right. But when I really heard that, I said, no, I don't want to be called a diva. I don't want to be a diva at all. And it just was nothing. It wasn't as positive as we think it is. It had everything to do with a man and maybe being more masculine than a man and something and things like that along those lines. And I just,
right,
when I heard that, I knew I couldn't. I can't do this anymore. I can't even listen to the music anymore, like, even with Kanye. And, you know, there's a couple of artists out there that immediately I knew, like, something fishy. Like, I would say Lady Gaga, when she came out, I kind of knew, like, okay, there's something weird, demonic going on here. But I really was a fan. I was a fan. I was Beyonce's, like, girl, and she was, you know, and I can't even do it no more. I really can. And seeing her and, you know, you were saying about the fire and all that other stuff, I totally get it. And I just, like, when she did that her last song, Halo, and all that, was just like, Lord, I just like, Lord, please support kids, this generation, just like grabbing onto her, like they wanted her, they wanted her, and it was really sad, and it just kind of like made you want to thank God, hurry up and come back and help, because this is kind of ridiculous going on. But I'm glad you did the show, and I just wanted to call in and you know, put my two cents in.
I thank you. I thank God for you. I pray for women like you, like yourself, because it's a blessing that you're actually able to, like you said, see the light, you know. And like you said, you're in your 30s, and you know, we actually did a classic show. If you guys are enjoying this show, listen to what I'm saying. Google celebrities who've sold their souls for fame and fortune. I believe that's what it's classified under. But that, you know, it's Google that, and then just type in my name next to it. And the show will come up where we did nothing. It was myself, Courtney, and Reverend Ann about last year, where we did a 3-hour show detailing Beyonce's start of her career in gospel music all the way up to Freakum dress and even to what she's doing now. And we talked about, we broke down just about every one of her songs, the lyrics, and how they are so detrimental, specifically to black women, you know, from Survivor to Independent Woman to Single Ladies to, you know, all that stuff. You know, Party, you know, We Like to Party, all that stuff. I may be young, but I'm ready to give it all away. These are things that are that have been placed specifically in the black community. Like she said, she grew up. It's all very strategic, guys. She grew up listening to Beyonce. Beyonce came out when she was about 15 or 16. Look, what age are these, you know, we talk about, you know, why so many successful mid-30s, successful black women can't find a man. Well, look who they grew up listening to. Look who they could identify with. It was all a plot to keep us single. You don't flood the airways and flood entertainment with someone preaching that type of message, you know, unless you're trying to destroy an entire community. This is all modern-day slavery, guys. Listen to that show when you get some time and see just how damaging the lyrics are. A lot of times they throw in the beat and you forget what's actually being said. But this stuff is, I mean, you know, Independent Woman clearly says, you know, after you're done, please get up and leave. Well, only call you when I'm horny. That's what, you know, we look at now, you know, 15 years later, well, everyone has a friend with benefits that they use just for sexual purposes. If you listen to this show, you know that's what's called emotional unavailability. That will keep you single. It makes it impossible for you to have love. And that who introduced you to that whole way of thinking? You know, these little girls out here wanting to be bootylicious. This is all blasphemous. Bible clearly says right here, I'm looking right at it, in, what is this? It says right here in 1 Corinthians 11:11, nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not meant to be independent of man, nor man of woman. You think that Beyonce doesn't know that? You think she's unaware of that scripture that says man is not meant to be independent of woman and woman not independent of man, yet she comes out with a song called Independent Woman? Does anyone think that's a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. It's blasphemous is what it is. You think that when Jesus was praying with blood, with sweat the size of blood drops, and he was tempted by the enemy, and the devil said clearly to him, you can have, I'm paraphrasing, you can have all of this if you bow down and worship me, right? That's what the devil said to Jesus when he was praying. Bow down and worship me. Well, Beyonce comes out with a song entitled what? Bow Down. Remember what all these other people are doing. They're projecting themselves. What did she do on the Super Bowl? She projected herself above the crowd, surrounded the crowd with fire, so it gave the illusion to people looking from far away that people were burning in hell, reaching out for help, and she was standing above them. Well, what did the devil do? The devil was standing above Jesus saying, look, bow down to me, and I'll give you the world. She's projecting herself as Satan. Sasha Fierce is a demon. It possesses her. She said on camera, hey, I don't know what happens to me. You know, I'm chilling, I'm doing what I'm doing, and then something just comes over me. Nah, it's not just something. That, Beyonce, is called a demon. You're possessed by a demon. This stuff is not, you know, fake, it's not fictional. This stuff is in the Bible. It all happens. People have become possessed. If you guys caught my special on aliens and zombies and UFOs and giants, Nephilim, all that stuff that we just did a couple weeks ago, check that out because we talked in detail about what it looks like when you're possessed by a demon. Why the entertainment industry, and part two is coming, why the industry is focusing so much on the effects of when Satan's angels had sex with humans and produced offspring, you know, and what that resulted in. It resulted in demons and half-breeds. You know, and that's what, you know, we're seeing. You guys see that there's a new movie called, Courtney, I don't know if you saw the commercial, what is it? Peter Jackson, what the, you know what I'm talking about, that film, the title escapes me, but that it's a new movie, basically, about, you know, gods and demigods, and on the commercial, it says, in demigods we trust, which is a clear mockery of, they would never have said that 10 years ago. you know, obviously the, on the back of the dollar it says, in God we trust. They say, in demigods we trust. That's a clear insult to Jesus Christ. A demigod is a half god. You know, it's a fake god. And so for them to use that and make a mockery of what, you know, of God as we know him, you know, this stuff is all over, guys. It's everywhere. Courtney, you see it.
Yeah, it's everywhere you turn.
Right. I want to keep it real. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Hold your calls. I'm going to go right back. I see more calls. I'm glad that so many people have calls. I just want to get through a little bit more of the VMAs because there was a lot of Illuminati and demonic symbolism. I definitely want to make sure we've got time. We're doing well on time. But I just want to make sure. Definitely we'll take every call that's on the line before the show is over, I promise you. But, yeah, so there was Lady Gaga. She throws up the sixes. Miley Cyrus. Now, obviously, this is Hannah Montana, as a lot of people know her as. And this video, Taylor Swift went through a similar type of ritual at the American Music Awards where it symbolized the old Miley is dead, the old Taylor Swift is dead, the old Beyonce is dead, and this is the new me. Rihanna went through a similar thing. She came out singing about being a good girl, and now all of a sudden she's bad. You know, and so we actually did a show on that, you know, talking about good girl going bad. We did a whole 2-hour show specifically on Rihanna. Check that out. And we talked about her history with being molested and, you know, where that a lot of her issues come from a child perspective. Her father, you know, made her do all types of crazy stuff and sexual things. And it's deep. And these are all things that she, a psycho hit me up through email, accused me of making that up. I said, what? She did a whole interview in GQ magazine where she talked about her, how she was molested, you know, and all you got to do is look that stuff up. And a lot of these women who we see, you know, selling their souls, you know, sacrificing their beliefs, Oprah Winfrey's another one of them, you know, on her show talking about there's multiple ways to heaven, multiple names for God. No, there's one name for God, and his name is Jesus Christ, you know. But a lot of times when you look at a lot of these celebrities who've been through extremely traumatic experiences. Tyler Perry, another example, molested, raped, all types of stuff. A lot of times, these celebrities, they end up holding Jesus, holding God, holding the church responsible for their experiences. So that, a lot of times, you know, fuels the fire to them turning away. So when somebody dangles a check for $1 million and said, hey, look, all you got to do is say this or do this or throw up this sign, yeah, it's a little contradictory to God, but, you know, are you cool with that? They say, well, hey, God ain't never done nothing for me. God allowed me to be raped and molested, so the heck with God. I'm going to take this $1 million. And that's a lot of times how the selling of the soul, you know, goes down. It's unfortunate, but, you know, there's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of anger towards God based on deaths, you know, bad experiences, whatever, traumatic experiences, disappointments. And so a lot of people, they're choosing the world because they're mad at God. I've been mad at God based on certain things, but at the same time, you have to get over that. You have to, you know, you have to rebound. You have to keep your faith. You know, you can never turn away from God. Let's look at some other stuff. Robin Thicke, I mentioned earlier, this guy had on a tight black and white suit. Same thing, white, black and white checker pattern. Now, Taylor Swift, now this is kind of in a different direction. Courtney, I know you talked about this earlier on. Taylor Swift, and this isn't really, you know, satanic or demonic or even blasphemous, but just in the context of the things you're used to us talking about here on the show as far as emotional availability, a lot of you caught, she said she accepted her moon man. And she said, well, you know, shout out to who the person this song is about, you know, and you know exactly who you are. And now I got an award because, and I mean, that's like the epitome of emotional availability or unavailability. I mean, here you are, a superstar, you know, you got millions of dollars, you're, you know, getting this award in front of millions of people. You know, and now, and you've, out of all that you have going on, you know, tons of hit records and things like that, you feel the need to shout out, you know, someone who, you know, did you wrong back in the day. That shows that you're still thinking about that person. That shows that you're not over him. It shows that you're actually very distraught over him. You know, did you notice that, Courtney? Did you pick up on any of that stuff?
Yeah, I did pick up on it. I was trying to figure out who she was talking about. But, yeah, I did pick up on it. It was kind of like, well, where did that come from? She's definitely suffering from some things.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the only reason that is. It's kind of like when Beyonce made that song and put that video out there where she was talking about some, well, all her songs, a lot of them, you know, You Must Not Know About Me, and Don't You Ever For a Second Think That You're Irreplaceable. I mean, this is someone who has a very, you know, they do a good job of covering up her past, just like they do a good job of covering up Jay-Z's past, just like they do a good job of covering up Obama's past. They take care of their own. You guys ever notice that, you know, stuff when you're not really down with the people, when you're not down with the program, you're not one of the golden childs, you know, your stuff, you'd be coming up from years and years and years ago. They just, and it has a way of finding you. But if you notice, what's the last thing? I mean, who has Beyonce even ever slept with prior to Jay-Z? Can you name one person?
Well, Marcus Houston, but that's not even in the public like that. Like, she doesn't talk about anybody but Jay-Z.
Right. That's just because we know that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But it's
yeah.
not something that the media, and the, you know, the media is controlled by the Illuminati, and when you are an Illuminati puppet who's very high up in the ranks, they look out for you. Jay-Z is untouchable. Jay-Z, a lot of you guys don't know, was convicted, not even convicted. He pled guilty to attempted murder. He stabbed somebody. So since when can you plead guilty to attempted murder, which they really pleaded down to, so it wasn't even attempted murder, but you know, I have a friend who was stabbed, and he was murdered. So when you stab somebody, that's attempted murder, plain and simple. I don't care what you, how you look at it, but they got it down to aggravated assault, pled guilty, got off with probation. Like, they look out for you. Now, how does someone who pleads guilty to aggravated assault, which we'll really call attempted murder, how does that person become the spokesperson for the president of the United States? I mean, I'm just saying, how does that happen? The only way that happens, it doesn't happen, you know, the only way it happens is when the people running the show and calling the shots, you know, this dude was on commercials every 5 minutes the week of the election. Ridiculous. That's how you, if you can't tell this stuff is all one big show, you're living under a rock. It's all a dog and pony show. It's all for ratings. It's all for advertising dollars. You know, Barack Obama was chosen. Jay-Z was put in place to help him get to that point. You know, I mean, there's an agenda here. So there's that. You know, I just want to throw that out about Taylor Swift, though. Justin Timberlake. Now, it's interesting. I watched the whole performance, and never did Justin Timberlake throw up the 666. However, obviously, he was draped from head to toe in, you know, red, black, white, and silver. If you remember from the beginning of the show, that is the colors of the satanic flag. But did you notice anything from any of the performers in NSYNC, Courtney?
No, I didn't. But wait, before we talk about that, I do want to say Justin actually did throw out the 666, but it was very subtle, and I had to, like, pause it, like, really quick to catch it. And you couldn't even tell. It was actually in the middle of one of his dances, but, like, it was so quick that, like, I think it flew past a lot of people. So I caught that, but what you were referring to with NSYNC, I didn't catch anything. What happened with that?
I'm glad you pointed that out. I stand corrected. I'm glad you saw it, though. I have to rewatch it. I missed it. That's how discreet this stuff is, how subtle it is. You know, Justin Timberlake, as Courtney said, threw it up. So I'm not surprised. I just didn't see it, but I'm not surprised. I was looking for it because I expected him to do it. But, you know, NSYNC, when they came out, I forget, I didn't catch which one it was, but he threw it up blatantly. Like, Justin Timberlake, it was all very planned, too, because here's the thing. He's performing with NSYNC, and there was a period of time where he was doing, like, a little solo part of the act, but right when the cameras went to NSYNC, the dude threw up the 666 sign right at that moment, and the camera was right on him, where it could have very easily still been on Justin. But right at, you see what I'm saying? Like, this stuff is planned. Like, when I was watching the fight, I told y'all a couple weeks ago, I was watching the Mayweather fight, his last fight, and Kelly Rowland comes out singing the national anthem. There are the cameras going all around the crowd and different doing on different shots. But then right at the exact moment where the camera is directly on her, she throws up the 666, holds it there for about 3 seconds. That's also in this, in my folder, and I posted in the group on the night of the fight. I said, wow, check out Kelly Rowland at the fight. You know, and all this stuff I post. A lot of times I'll just be, I have my DVR, I just press pause, take a picture with myself, and then upload it into the group so you guys can see the type of stuff that's actually going on out here. So, yeah, Justin Timberlake, that whole thing. Now, Jimmy Fallon, you know, another puppet. You know, right when he came up there and was dangling off Justin Timberlake's testicles, you know, praising him on how great he is. I'm like, yo, what, I mean, did you hear that gay comment that he made?
No. What comment are you talking about?
See, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Jimmy Fallon is going to come out the closet in a couple of years, right? I wouldn't be surprised. Why, I'm predicting this. Watch, mark my words. You know he's going to be the next Tonight Show host. You know, Jimmy, Jay Leno is retiring. Watch, in a couple weeks, couple months, whatever ends up being, Jimmy Fallon is going to come out the closet and announce that he's a homosexual. I promise you that. At some point, just when they make the announcement, oh, yeah, Jimmy Fallon comes out as gay, think about me. Remember, Odeidan predicted that. Same thing with Tyler Perry, but that should be, you guys already know that. But, I mean, come on, like, that's just a matter of time. I mean, I'm going to crack up uncontrollably when Tyler Perry comes out because it's going to be ridiculous. But Jimmy Fallon, when Justin Timberlake was, oh my, he was like, yeah, all these songs, all these classics, Cry Me River. He's like, oh, yeah, that song was about me, by the way. You ain't catch that?
Oh, okay, yeah, I did. That was pretty gay.
Like, yo, imagine me saying something like that. Like, you don't make gay jokes unless you're gay. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't do that. You don't act like you're humping somebody. You don't make little sexual jokes. You don't flirt with men. Like, if you're not gay. And I'm so sick of people being afraid to call gay stuff gay like it's not gay. You know, you don't say a song where a man is singing about a woman talking about Cry Me a River and say, oh, yeah, that song was about me. What? But you're not gay? Like, come on, man. You know, it's crazy. But the point of that was right in the midst of that, he throws up the 666 sign very discreetly using his microphone. Did you catch that or no?
No, I didn't catch that. Wow.
Look, some of y'all have it on your DVR. Go back and listen, watch the Jimmy Fallon segment when he's, you know, talking about Justin. And right when he's using, and The Rock did this. I posted this on The Rock. The Rock, he's good at this too. He's holding the microphone, picture it. He makes the sign as he's holding the microphone in his hand. And it was very deliberate and very blatant and very obvious, especially if you were looking for it. Very discreet, so if you don't know anything about the 666 and what it represents, then you definitely would miss it. But if you know about it, you clearly would notice it because it was very obvious. And I was like, oh, okay, Jimmy. So, you know, that was a good one. You know what I mean? Very creative. You know, so that was that. What else? So that was the whole thing. And then he made a very disrespectful comment. He was like, you know, Justin Timberlake, something all over the goddamn world, the whole goddamn world, like saying something like, whoa, come on. You know, just, you know, using the Lord's name in vain. Very disrespectful. You know, and these are the types of things that they're doing very strategically. Because he didn't even need to say that. You could tell that he specifically said that to prove some type of point, just to throw that in there. And, you know, there will be reckoning. You know, there will be a day of judgment. And, you know, for all this type of stuff. Yeah, let's go back to the lines, though. 646-200-0366. Hit the number 1 on your keypad. I feel like I'm about to say 666 when I say that, 0366. It's like, man, I need to get a new freaking calling number or something. 254 area code. Welcome to the Dayton Tolbert Show.
Hello?
You there? Welcome.
Yeah, I'm here. I just first want to say, man, it's a good thing to hear this. I wish a lot of people would tune into this. And I actually, one of my Facebook friends, it was a post. I was like, man, let me see what this is about. But now that I've heard it, it's just like I've always believed this, and it's hard for me because I've been wanting to do music for a good 20 years, You know what I'm saying? And it took for a guy to talk to me maybe 2 hours, and it changed my whole outlook. And, I mean, I dropped my rap. I stopped doing music just, you know, in a blink of an eye, and I lost a lot of friends. And it's kind of hard for me to talk about this because it was something that it was like real deep in me, and I was real passionate about it. And after that conversation with a guy at my job, he kind of like told me, he was like, look, if you're a Christian, don't be on the fence, because it's the time is now, it's coming. Your kids won't make it to see their teenage years. We're in the last days. The devil is in a battle with God, and Satan is trying to he's trying to recruit as many people as he can, and he's using everything out here to recruit people. Music, TV, sports, games, anything you can possibly think of that you see as entertainment, he's using it. And it's crazy because the devil was a musician. So, I mean, what better way to bring people in than with music, you know what I'm saying? So it kind of, I just, like, my wife didn't believe it. She, you know, everybody was like, man, you're tripping. And I'm like, look, that's what everybody's doing. The word says if you're doing what the world's doing, you ain't doing what God's doing. And that right there kind of like pulled me away. And, you know, I didn't even watch the VMAs because I already know what that's all about. And they don't even have to throw up no symbols or nothing like that, because if it's not of God, then they're not talking about God. And the thing that gets me the most is when I was watching it, you know, previously in my younger years, everybody would say, I want to thank God. Nobody would say, I want to thank Jesus. Nobody says, I want to thank Jesus. Everybody knows, the Christians know that in order to praise God, you first have to acknowledge Jesus. And nobody does that, which kind of, you know, I knew it. It's been embedded in me since I was little. I grew up in the church, and I kind of strayed away from it, you know, getting into the world and wanting to be rich and wanting to, you know, have money and all of that stuff. And now I just threw it all away. And I want to say thank you for doing what you're doing, because we are headed, the way it's going, people are headed in the wrong direction, and somebody needs to put this stuff out here and not be afraid to. Another thing I wanted to say, one more thing, if you're going to look up stuff, don't use Google. Because, and this is what the guy told me, he says Google is, they track everything you do on Google. It's a website called DuckDuckGo. I'm pretty sure you're probably familiar with it. It's an engine. They don't track it. It's underneath the radar. DuckDuckGo, and you can research anything you want, and nobody's going to track. I mean, you shouldn't be afraid anyway, you know, because if you're God's people, God's going to protect his people. But right. if people do want to do research, I'm putting this out here for the callers, go to duckduckgo.com. It's anonymous. It's non-trackable. Yeah, but Google is, of course, a part of that big circle. But,
well,
yeah, sure.
Do me a favor. Let everybody know where you're calling in from.
Oh, I'm calling from Louisiana. I'm originally from Detroit. I'm a two-time war veteran. I'm disabled out of the Army. And my wife is still in, and we're here in Louisiana.
Yo, let me just say God bless you. I appreciate you. Definitely appreciate your service, you know, and I appreciate you for listening in and, you know, just being a man of God who is not afraid to, you know, one, open your eyes and see what's going on. Because at one point, I was living in the world, same type of thing. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be on NBC, on ABC, on, you know what I'm saying? All those stuff, this is what I wanted to be doing. Now I look at it, I'm like, whoa, I'm content. Not only am I content, I'm happy. I'm blessed to still be able to reach people in Louisiana and Chicago and California. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good, you know? And that's the power of God. But it's great that you're able to open your eyes and give up that music. And I'll say this, you don't necessarily have to give up. You know, you may have to tailor it. You may have to make some moderations. You know, maybe not. Like, I remember hearing an interview with Lupe Fiasco. You notice, guys, I remember he was saying, like, yeah, man, you know, the industry, He's like, I can't really. He said, this is actually my last album. He's like, go check it out. He's like, I got one more album that I got to do, but that's probably going to be like a greatest hits album, and I'll be done. He said, I'm, you know, you're not going to hear from me on the level that you're used to hearing me. He said, I'm not leaving the industry, but I'm leaving the industry as you guys know it. He said, I'm still going to be doing music, but just on a more smaller level. And I'm like, and this is Lupe Fiasco. And so, which a lot of people may know, if you're in hip-hop, this stuff is not, you know, it's not a coincidence. These people acknowledge and see clearly what you have to do. A lot of the artists that you see disappearing, you know, it's not that they're disappearing. They're just making a decision that they don't want to continue worshiping Satan. Every single, and I told you guys this the other night, I'll tell you again right now, every single video that is on MTV or on BET, there will be blatant demonic and satanic references and imagery. Every single one. I don't care what video it is, it will, or otherwise it's not getting played. You know, Baphomet imagery, 666. If you don't know about Baphomet, just Google Baphomet and look at what that symbol is. Beyonce can be seen, you know, posing in the Baphomet pose. That's a very common. A lot of directors are in this stuff. They're, you know, doing little images. Jay-Z's Niggas in Paris video, it's filled with the Baphomet symbol, you know, or shape, you know, that whole curving, you know what I'm talking about, the symbol, the shape of the horns, that's Baphomet. A lot of this, they're being very creative now, and it's all to show homage to Baphomet. It's unfortunate. Beyonce can be seen. Somebody, you know, if you Google Beyonce Baphomet, you'll see her posing with the motorcycle with where the horns are exactly in the exact shape of the Baphomet demon, and that's her showing homage. She has on a Baphomet ring in other pictures, same ring that Big Sean can be seen wearing, Kanye West, Ciara. These are all people who wear Baphomet clothing, you know, to show their allegiance to Satan. You know what I mean? And to thank them for the position that he's put them in. This is not a joke. This actually happens, guys. We're here talking about blasphemy. Google Kanye West Baphomet shirt. He's wearing a shirt of Baphomet, which is Satan, which is the demon of Satan. Ciara, she's wearing a Baphomet shirt. Beyonce's posing with a Baphomet head. These are facts. This is not conjecture. This isn't hating. These are facts. This is what they do. And some people say, oh, they're just doing that. What do you mean they're just doing it? You don't just worship Satan. You don't just wear a shirt that says Aleister Crowley's credo, do as thou wilt, like Jay-Z did. If you don't do that, if you don't support these people. You see me wearing a shirt, you know what I'm saying? It's going to represent something. You know, you all of a sudden start seeing me wearing red, black, white, and silver, you know what's up. You know what I mean? You see that, you understand what just happened. He said, the heck with this. He's going to go ahead and try to get that national fame. Never going to happen, but you see what it would mean if it did happen. All right, let's go back. Now, listen, if you guys are enjoying this show, you haven't heard anything yet. Because we haven't, I've saved the best for last. You haven't even heard anything. You haven't heard even the most blasphemous thing, which we're about to talk about in a few seconds. And then we'll go back to the phone lines. Keep those calls coming, and I see a couple people holding. When you look at, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, what Jesus Christ, or I shouldn't say Jesus Christ, what God himself in the Old Testament, prior to Christ, was most passionate about. I mean, he calls, obviously, fornication was you know, a major, you know, issue that he speaks all throughout the Old Testament about, but also homosexuality. You know, the Bible calls homosexuality an abomination. You look at Sodom and Gomorrah. You look at, you know, the times of Noah's Ark and, you know, things like that. You know, God was very passionate about, or is very passionate about, you know, sin. Well, homosexuality is a sin. It says in Leviticus 20:13, if a man lies with a man as he does with a woman, then both of them have committed an abomination, and surely they shall be put to death, and their blood is upon them. And so, I mean, clearly, I mean, you know how God feels about sin. You know how God feels about homosexuality. This is no secret. So one of the things that and there are very few things, if any other things, that God refers to as an abomination in the Bible. Homosexuality is one of the only things that's actually an abomination, which kind of implies, it implies that if there are certain sins, then there are abominations. I'm going to say, you know, it would imply that that may be something that God is a little bit more passionate about. But, hey, I'll let you be the judge of that for yourself and as you read your word. If you look at the MTV Music Awards, now, in just the entertainment industry as a whole, you can thank your president, who has become passionate. Newsweek referred him to him as the first gay president because he's been so passionate about gay rights, more passionate than any president in the history of this country about getting gay rights, passing gay laws, and things like that. Obama, we're talking about. And so, which has kind of triggered acceptance throughout the black church, because the black church kind of dangles upon every word Obama says out of his mouth, and Obama can do no wrong amongst black people, which is a whole problem in and of itself. But this whole gay agenda has got a lot of fuel because of Obama. And if you look at, again, going back to the foundation of Satanism, well, Satanism is founded upon the beliefs and the actions of doing things that God has a problem with, that God hates. So making a mockery of God and the things that he's passionate about. Well, obviously everyone knows God hates homosexuality. He doesn't hate the sinner, but he hates the sin, which is homosexuality. So Satanists and the Illuminati is going full force to shove this down our throats to make a mockery of God. There's a war going on. God loves certain things. The devil goes right against them. And people who worship the devil, they do their job to push that agenda forward. And you'll see where I'm going, why I'm emphasizing this. If you look at these celebrities and the politics that they represent, you look at Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. Now, many of you know they have a number one single, which is entitled Same Love. Now, in Same Love, it's pretty much a song. Now, he claims to not be gay, but he wrote a song, basically, hopefully you've heard it, but standing up for the rights of gays, you know. And the song itself gets played every 5 minutes because of the blasphemous nature of it. If you hear the chorus of the song, someone is there singing, love is patient, love is kind. Now, where can you find that scripture, Courtney? From the Bible.
Right, that's in the Bible, but I forgot where that's in the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's one of those things where obviously God is speaking about love, you know, in the biblical context, but here you have someone making a mockery of that by putting it into a song about something that God hates. Can you be more blasphemous than that? Probably not. And Google the song. It's called Same Love by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. But here's how you know that it's all part of the plan. First of all, this is an independent rap group. They're not even like in the quote-unquote mainstream. I mean, they are now, but this is someone who is, you know, represents independent hip-hop, you know. And if you look at it, they blew up right when that song launched. That was like the thing that – obviously they had the song like Thrift Shop or whatever, but that Same Love song has really put them in another stratosphere. And so anybody who is willing to take a stand, you know, for something that God, you know, hates, like Meek Mill blew up right when he had that song called Amen. You know, it's some bad in the club, Amen. You know, it's some real, like Amen. Everything is Amen and Hallelujah. But, like, they're making, obviously that song got played every 5 minutes because these guys are looking for opportunities to make a mockery of God. So obviously Macklemore, they came up with this song called Same Love, standing up for homosexuality, gay rights. Clearly, they're now superstars. Here's the thing. In their performance, he gets up there and says, you know, make some noise for real independent artists. We're here on the, you know, MTV, VMAs, independent. And somebody might say, well, wait a minute, wow, that's pretty significant. You don't see that too often. I wonder why they're there. Maybe because they have a song called Same Love. You know, surprise, surprise. But then, if you notice, these guys win the video earlier in the night for best hip-hop video. Now, they're all tight. There you got independent artists, hip-hop artists who've been in the game for years and years and years, sold much more albums, much more successful. But here, Macklemore comes and wins an award for best hip-hop video when these are pretty relatively unknown guys over the last couple months, but yet they perform Same Love. You see how that goes, Courtney? You see when you do your part, they support you, you get awards, you win Academy Awards. Perfect example, Sean Penn plays a gay activist, right? He plays a gay rights activist in the movie Milk. He wins an Academy mm-hmm. Award. Did you see that, Courtney?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You see how that goes?
Yeah.
Gay rights.
Oh, continue.
Right.
Sorry.
My bad. Not to cut you off. What did Tom Hanks win his Academy Award for, his first Academy Award?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, in which he played what?
He was someone gay, but I forgot what he was other than that. But he was
That's
gay.
It.
Had AIDS.
That's
yeah.
It. Yeah, he was
yeah.
gay. That's basically all you need to say about it. He was gay.
Right.
You win awards when you support gay stuff. You know, let's take a deeper look here. Let's take a more in-depth look. Again, we're talking about blasphemy. Well, you know, and this is going to blow your minds. It's going to really blow your mind. This is how sick these people are. See, when they were performing, did you see the performance, Courtney?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. I took some
The
help.
Whole performance, they're singing about love is patient, love is kind. But who comes out at the end of the performance to help them sing the most blasphemous line in the whole song, love is patient, love is kind? Who do they bring out?
Oh, good old Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer Hudson comes out to sing, to make a mockery of Jesus Christ, to make a mockery, to sing love is patient, love is kind about something that God clearly hates. Now, you may say, well, okay, yeah, all right, Jennifer Hudson came out. Well, okay, well, I hear you, but what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that historically, Jennifer Hudson has been someone that where her relationship with Jesus Christ is so important to her. Many of you may remember when she won her Academy Award, she comes out in tears saying, look what God can do. Look what my God can do, with tears in her eyes, clearly emotional, and even many times since then, she speaks publicly. One of the very few celebrities, that I might add, that I've seen publicly even mention the name Jesus Christ and constantly refer to God and almost seem genuine about it. Well, that's interesting, because how important can her relationship with God be when she's willing to come out on a clear preset agenda with the sole purpose of making a mockery of Jesus Christ and promoting homosexuality and gay rights, which obviously God does not support? How important is her relationship with God if she'll come out and sing love is patient, love is kind in support of homosexuality if she knows for a fact that God does not support homosexuality? Do you see that, how that's a problem, Courtney?
Yeah, I really did. It was a mess. It was a mess. We also, I mean, I know we're not at that point but I wanted to talk about how they introduced that performance as well. You
Go ahead,
that?
Drop it on them. I don't remember off the top of my head. What happened?
They had Jason Collins come out.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah, I was going to talk about that. My bad.
I'm sorry. Go. No, you can go ahead.
Oh,
go
my
ahead.
Bad. I'm sorry. My bad. Let me get to that. I forgot. I thought you were going to say something else. But, yeah, you're right. That's exactly how they did it. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. But, yeah, that was the next thing I was going to talk about. But, yeah. But before we even get there, while they're performing, if you guys notice, Macklemore, he throws up the devil horns to the crowd. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't catch that. I must not have been looking at that part. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was very obvious and very deliberate. He throws up the horns, you know, to the crowd just to kind of show his allegiance, to represent, and to, you know, solidify what they're there for, what their purpose was, you know, is to further the satanic agenda. And that's all this stuff is, guys. You got to understand, if something is not of God, then it's of the enemy. You know, that's it. In fact, the Bible clearly says in 1 Corinthians 10:21 that ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. You know, you cannot serve two masters. You can't be a fence sitter. You have to take a side. So what are you saying, Dadon? What do you mean? I'm saying that it's a whole bunch of fake Christians out there who support homosexuality. So what are you saying? You're saying if someone supports gay rights and they're not a real Christian? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Because the Bible says that you cannot serve two masters and that you can't sit of the Lord's table and of the tables of devils. You can't support the furthering of a satanic agenda but still claim to love Jesus Christ. If I, Courtney, am I your friend if I'm friends with someone who hates you?
No.
I'm not.
No.
I'm not. I cannot support you, but then be friends with someone who has a problem with you or someone who is passionate about disrespecting you. If I am okay with that, then I'm not your friend. In fact, see, this is the thing. Everything I'm saying can be backed up with the Word. That's the great thing about the Word of God. That's why, you know, you don't hear a lot of people calling into debate, because like I said, I do the show with the Bible right next to me, and I know the Word. I'll go right to the Scriptures. All these classic Scriptures I have right there on a spreadsheet ready and waiting to go, you know what I mean? You know, so it is, you know, you can't really debate the Word of God. Bible clearly says in James 4:4, you adulterous people, you psychos, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Don't you know that anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God? Don't you? That's what it's saying in James 4:4. A lot of people don't understand that. They think it's okay to love Obama, but you know what I'm saying? But still love God. That's not the case. You can't do that. And no disrespect to you if you voted for him. I mean, I voted for him 4 years ago, but not this time around. I voted for Jesus Christ. Somebody said, oh, no, you didn't. No, really. I voted for Jesus Christ. I wrote in Jesus Christ, and I posted it right on election day. Jesus Christ, the writing. I took a picture from the booth. I don't care about this election. This whole election is fake. Guys think this stuff. Listen, election, people claim to know about politics but don't even know how the elections are you know, set up. There's no Democrat or Republican. What happens to these candidates after the show is over? What happened to Al Gore? What happened to John Kerry? What happens to Mitt Romney? John Kerry becomes the Secretary of State. Al Gore goes around making millions talking about global warming. You know, Mitt Romney, he's still making billions in the private sector. These guys are all, they're all puppets. They're all puppets. They just fade away into the background. You never hear them. John McCain, he goes back to his job in Senate or Congress, wherever the heck he is. These guys don't care if they lose or win. It's all an act. You can't have, like, it's just as fake as the rocking John Cena in WrestleMania. It's all for show. You think that's a real fight? It's a, you know, it's like one of the biggest fights of all time, but it was staged. Just like Obama and Romney, Obama and McCain. It's all one big act. It's all predetermined. In fact, Jesse Ventura, who was the former governor of Minnesota, he even said, and he was a former world champion in WWE, he said, look, he said, politics is just as fake as WWE. He said it's more fake than WWE, and this is a former governor. That's amazing, Courtney.
Wow. I didn't know he said that, but that's all right. Wow.
Yeah. That's what he said. This is, listen, Jesse Ventura, the former governor of Minnesota, who is also a former wrestler, world heavyweight champion, said that the political system is more fake than WWE. You can look that quote up. I saw him say it with my own eyes. He said it's all one big act. I know that. He confirmed it. You know, only people, and there's people out there. Funny thing is, there are educated people out there, college educated, PhDs, masters, people who really claim to be intelligent, but literally have no idea how the political system works. And then we'll have the audacity to sit there and argue with you like you don't know what you're talking about. The Illuminati picks these candidates. They all go away to a place called the Bilderberg Group. They go to Bohemian Grove, and they have these big conferences. If you got, I'll tell you, since we're talking about blasphemy and entertainment, if you watch Homeland, you know, many of you do, can't wait for season 3 to start up, classic show. But if you watch Homeland, they actually wrote that in, similar to how they do the whole Prison Break, how Lost, they will write these storylines in. They wrote in, you know, a little segment where they went to what was, you know, supposed to be Bohemian Grove. And Google that if you don't know any what I'm talking about, what I'm referring to. This is where the candidates are chosen. Now, the candidate, you never hear this reported on CNN, but for a couple of days, these guys, all the candidates, all the politicians, they all disappear, and they all go to some ranch somewhere out in the boonies. They do these satanic rituals, and that's just what it is. Google Bohemian Grove. Google Bilderberg Group. You won't see this stuff talked about on CNN, but if you think it doesn't exist, just because you don't see it on CNN, you don't know how politics works. And that's what I'm trying to tell you guys. But we still haven't really talked about anything. Let's keep it going. Jason Collins. You know, and this is all very deliberate. Courtney brought it up. You know, this is obviously the first openly gay basketball player. He comes out there sounding retarded, talking about some, you know what I mean, acting all crazy. So I don't even know what he said. What did he do? You remember exactly what he said? I just kind of tuned him out because I couldn't get past his voice.
I tuned it out too, but something stood out where he compared being mistreated because he was gay, comparing that to racism. And I was just looking like, really? Like, are you serious?
Right. It's ridiculous. You know, he talked about his grandmom. I know he said something about his grandmom, talking about the civil rights. Listen, guys, it's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. The major leaders of the civil rights movement, these were all Christians for the most part. I mean, these are people who love Jesus Christ, Martin Luther King, you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's nothing the same. There's nothing, you're not persecuted. You aren't, you know, there's nothing the same about being gay and being a slave or feeling the effects of slavery. You know, that's a choice. You know, you have a choice to be gay or to not be gay. Jesus Christ can deliver you from that. You weren't born gay. You know what I'm saying? Homosexuality is nothing but a spirit. And if you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, he can heal you from that. He can deliver that, just like he can deliver you from any sin, sexual sin, you know, gambling, alcohol, drug addiction, whatever it is, depression. It's just a spirit. You know, look at Donnie McClurkin. You know, he faced some things. He claimed that through prayer and, you know, seeking God, he's dealt with homosexual, you know, tendencies and feelings. And, you know, it can happen, you know. And so don't let anybody, I don't care who's listening right now. I have friends, I have family who are gay, but at the same time, I know what the word says. I know God is not cool with it. And if God is not cool with anything, I know he can deliver you from it. And that's just what it is. You know what I mean? It's such, let me just tell you something. It's so refreshing and it's so liberating to break free of social constraints and, you know, political constraints and really just speak your mind. You guys have no idea how therapeutic and relaxing it is just to talk to you guys every night. You have no idea. It's actually fun. I have a smile on my face when I do these shows. Some people say, well, aren't you afraid? I say, afraid of what? Not afraid of anything. For what? Bible says, what can man do to you? You know what I'm saying? Nothing. In fact, you will be rewarded. You'll be blessed when you take a stand for Jesus Christ. You guys realize that, right? A lot of you guys are afraid to share these statuses and to share these the show links as if you will be persecuted by your Facebook friends. Facebook friends? Who cares about Facebook? Facebook doesn't matter when you're getting blessings every day from Jesus Christ. I just got a check for $250 in the mail from someone anonymous the other day. You think I care about Facebook? You know, that's a blessing straight from God. You understand what I'm doing? Everything I have is because of God. So what can you know, somebody on Facebook or somebody who's a hater do, or a site? I don't care about any of this stuff. The only thing that matters is the Word of God and the Bible. You used to struggle with that, Courtney. Isn't it liberating, though, just to be able to speak your mind?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You're right. I was like, at one point, I didn't want to because my need for, you know, friends and popularity was, like, so much more important to me than God. I'll admit that on the show. Like, that was what I was about. And I had to realize, like, those people don't mean anything. You know what I mean? They don't hold the keys to my salvation. And most importantly, it's important, my relationship with Jesus Christ is more important. And so I want to share my love for him to the world.
Right. And this is a scripture right here that says, "And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted amongst men is an abomination in the sight of God." And that's Luke 16:15. So it's basically saying it doesn't matter whether or not you're accepted amongst men or not, because God knows who you really are. And if you are a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. That's basically what it's saying. You're an enemy of God. God will hate you. And if you remember, hold on. Let's just scroll up real quick. Because it says right here, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. But if you go back to Nahum 1:2, it says that he reserves his wrath for his enemies. So hold on. According to the word, you've now put yourself into the same category of Jay-Z and Beyonce and Kanye West and Jason Collins and Jennifer Hudson and Barack Obama. People who are passionate about making a mockery of Jesus Christ. And you're saying, well, hold on, I'm not blasphemous, I don't do that. Well, yeah, you do, because it says right here, if you're a friend of the world, if you want to be accepted by the world, then you're an enemy of God. So that right there puts you into the same category. He doesn't differentiate, oh, you're this type of enemy or you're that type of enemy. You're just an enemy. And the Bible says that his wrath is reserved for his enemies. Is that not crazy?
Yeah, but you know what? We need to hear that. People need to know that.
I'm cracking up over here, man. This is crazy. This is, you know what I'm saying? It's amazing. And how God just showed me that in the last 2 seconds. You see what I'm saying? Like, you really got to study the word. Shout out to Ebony. She posted a picture of Idris Elba throwing up on a billboard, throwing up a 666 sign. You know, coincidentally, this guy has a new movie coming out, and who wants to bet that he'll be nominated for, if not win an Oscar, for his upcoming performance of Nelson Mandela? And I actually want to see that film. It looks like a really good movie, but I can almost guarantee you he's been, you know, putting in his Illuminati dues for several years now. Every time you see him, he's covering up one eye. You know, I posted that in the group, you know, a little while ago. He did a photo shoot throwing up the one eye, 666, all that good stuff. And, you know, now next thing you know, he's starring in, you know, blockbuster movies like Thor, and, you know, now he's, you know, Nelson Mandela, and he was in the new Pacific Rim. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, opportunities will come to you, but at what cost? At what cost? You know, so there's that about, you know, God and his enemies. Man, this stuff is deep. You know, these guys come out praising, you know, this guy, Jared Leto, like we talked about earlier, I can't get over that. Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, make some noise for Jesus himself. Like, wow, okay, that's how you feel. Let's keep it going, though, because there's more stuff to talk about. Check this out. All right, so Jennifer Hudson comes out. She obviously sacrificed her faith in God, her love for God, to be more successful than she already is. I guess the Oscar wasn't enough. She wants that worldwide fame, that Beyonce fortune. So she said, the heck with it. I'll just go out and that, these are, you know, they know. They're not stupid. They know that she was talking about Jesus a little bit too much. They said, you know what? You got to do this to show us what's really going on here. And we're going to talk a little bit right now about sacrifices. See, somebody said, whoa, you sure you want to talk about that tonight? I said, oh, why not? We already went far enough, you know, far. Let's keep it going. Let's talk about sacrifices. Some of you may have heard about blood sacrifices. Well, you know, here's the thing. And you guys can Google this. You know, look this stuff up, do some research. See, a lot of times people, when you start talking about things like sacrifice and human sacrifice and things like that, you know, people start, you know, looking at you like you're crazy. But what people need to understand is sacrifices, when you think about paganism, when you think about polytheism, you know, Greek mythology even, which a lot of these, you know, cultures are based upon, you know, this is something that goes back centuries. You know, there have always been human sacrifices, animal sacrifices, you know, all types of sacrifices, monetary sacrifices, donations and things like that to these fake gods, these pagan gods, these idols. You know, so understand that there are cultures who do this stuff. You understand? And have always done this stuff. So, you know, when you look, and even you look at Satanism, you know, if you go and you know, you look at vampires and, you know, things like that, that all this stuff is based upon, you know, sacrifices are really nothing new. You know, when you're talking about the occult, Satanism, demonism, paganism, polytheism, these are all things that have been going on for years if you do, really do your research. So it's not inconceivable, it's not unfathomable to think that in today's society, the people who practice the occult, who worship the occult, who are into Satanism and all these other pagan, you know, ideologies, it shouldn't be to you out of the question to think that, hey, maybe there are some human sacrifices that go on. And a lot of times these people will put this stuff, these sick bastards will put this stuff, they will write it into these shows, they will write it into these movies. And you see it play out right in front of your eyes, which we're going to talk about real quick. When you look at Lost, which I just, Courtney and I both watched recently, finished the whole series. A lot of you guys end up getting into it. If you haven't watched it, it's on Netflix. Check it out. It's also on demand. When you look at Lost, as you get, and I don't want to tell the series, but I'm going to, but John Locke, who's one of the main characters, who basically represents evil in the movie, in the show. Midway, you know, at a certain point, he had an estranged relationship with his father. They were definitely estranged, you know, a lot of issues between the two of them. So as he's here on this island, which is actually, it ends up being hell itself, the fact that they're in hell, they actually all died. The whole premise of Lost is they died in a plane crash and they were living in hell pretty much. It's very complicated, but that's the, you know, overall premise of it. But it's a battle between good and evil. But they write into the storyline, you know, the Illuminati. It symbolizes they were all being controlled. Yes, they were living life. Yes, they thought they had control over what they were doing. But in reality, everything they did was ultimately controlled by, quote-unquote, the others. You see how they do that, guys? Google the others on Lost. Google the company on Prison Break. These sick bastards are writing the Illuminati into some of the most popular shows of all time. The others and the Illuminati, excuse me, the others and the company represent the same exact thing, just in different storylines. Did you make that connection, Courtney?
I didn't, believe it or not, until now.
You never looked at the others as being the Illuminati?
No, I didn't at first, but now it makes perfect sense, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. And if you notice, if you guys are fans of Lost, if you're not, I would strongly encourage you to watch it because they put this stuff right in there. Here's the thing, and you'll see where I'm going with this. John Locke, who is one of the main characters, he came to a point where he wanted to leave his former life. He was living life with the commoners, the people who were actually stranded on the island. It came to a point where he wanted to leave that part of the island and live in the upper echelon of the good part of the island with the others. He wanted to, in fact, become an other, if you're following me, who represents the Illuminati. And the leader, or one of the representatives of the others at that point, they said to him, well, John, if you want to leave your former circumstances, you want to no longer be a prisoner, you no longer want to be held captive, you no longer want to be sick and starving and poor, and you want to be one of us, Well, that's cool and all, but you've got to show us that you're really worthy. You've got to make a sacrifice. And you can't just make any sacrifice, but the sacrifice, you've got to make a serious sacrifice, one that is going to show us that there's no doubt that you are, in fact, on board, you know, and for real and serious about being one of us. We need to know that we can trust you. What did John Locke have to do, Courtney, to be accepted by the others?
He had to kill his father.
Right. You guys see how that works? That's what happens. He had to kill his father. See? You see how sick these people are? And you see where I'm going with this. You know, on Lost, John Locke, in order to be accepted by the others, who represents the Illuminati, they told him he had to kill his father. Okay? He had to kill someone who wasn't necessarily close to him, but it was his father nonetheless. So he kills his father, he drags his father back to the others, and drops his father down and says, look, I'm here, I'm ready. And so John Locke ultimately becomes the leader of the others, you know, works his way up the ranks. So if anyone doesn't think that that was specifically put in there to kind of make a mockery of what goes on out here with a lot of these celebrities, you say, well, what do you mean, Dayton? Are you saying people kill their parents? Why would you say that? Who does that? I don't know. Let's just take a look. I don't want to, obviously there's never going to, before you get the psychos are listening and you go crazy, there's never going to be quote-unquote proof. Okay, you're never going to have proof. You're never going to have anything more than speculation. So all we're doing is speculating right now. All we're doing is offering conjecture. But I think we all know what we're speaking is true. You should know. And if you don't, you should pray and ask for discernment, and you'll have that confirmation like I do. Because this actually does go on in today's society. If you want to be accepted, it's not a coincidence, guys, that just about every major celebrity has experienced not just death, because everyone experienced death. I experienced death. Courtney has had deaths in her family. But, Courtney, when you have a death in the family, does it get reported on the news?
No.
Let me ask you this. Let me take it in a different direction. Let's take it, because, you're just Courtney. I'm just Dayton. We're nobodies. But let's talk about somebody who is somebody. Let's take somebody kind of high up. Let's take, I don't know, the governor of, Illinois. Your governor, Courtney. Who's your governor?
Who is my governor? I don't even know right now.
Don't even worry about it. There's nothing. Don't worry about it. Here's the thing. Your governor, did you hear, when he had a death in the family, was it reported on the news?
No.
Right. When his mom passed, did you hear anything about it?
No.
Our governor here in Pennsylvania, I'm sure he had a death in the family. I didn't hear anything about that. When I have a death in the family, I don't hear anything about that. Patti LaBelle, when she has a death in the family, does that get reported on the news?
No.
Not at all. I don't know. Eric Robeson, Tank. Even Tyrese, for that matter. Now, you don't hear people, because why? Because these are not, I shouldn't even put Tyrese in it, because he's kind of in a different situation. But my point is, when you have independent artists, when you have people who are not high up on the totem pole, there's not a big deal made about stuff. Jennifer Hudson, when her family gets killed, it's a big deal. Bill Cosby's son dies, it's a huge deal. Michael Jordan's father dies. These are some of the richest people in the world, mind you. When these people have their very high-profile deaths, Meek Mills, when his protege was killed, it's like front-page news. And one of the things that was very interesting is that Kanye West, obviously, when his mom passed, it's a huge deal. Think of all the celebrities out here, guys. Think of all the celebrities out here who have mothers who've passed, and it's never a big deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't hear, anyone. I was driving in my car, and like I'm listening to something, and like it's like breaking news. It was like crazy, and you know who controls the media? They make a specific point to speak about breaking news. Bruno Mars' mother dies. I'm like, what? That did not sit well in my soul. Out of all the celebrities out here who have mothers, and people's mothers probably die, and fathers and cousins and aunts just pass, Bruno Mars, his mother died. And it's like national news. It's like on CNN, Bruno Mars' mom passes. I'm like, and ask yourself, why is that national news? Who is Bruno Mars? Well, Courtney, who closed it, or not, who didn't close it down, but who had a very high-profile performance and a platinum album this year at the VMAs this year?
Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Bruno Mars. You know, so what are you saying, Dadon? Are you saying that Bruno Mars sacrificed his mother? Hey, I'm not saying anything. This is all speculation, remember? But what I'm saying is, if you understand how this entertainment industry works, you know, you have to make some form of sacrifice. You understand? You have to show them. Nothing is free. If you want to pledge a fraternity, you have to make sacrifices. You wear certain colors. You understand? You take oaths. You go through rituals. If you want to go on a football team, whatever it is, whatever organization you want to be a part of, sacrifices will be made one way or another. It just so happens that the type of organization that's going to pay you millions and millions of dollars, the rituals and the sacrifices are probably going to be a little bit more severe. You know, it's not a coincidence that every time Nicki Minaj, her cousin was randomly, you know, killed outside a club or something. Next thing you know, who's a superstar? Biggie was killed. Diddy all of a sudden releases the album, sells 50 million records, you know, net worth 500 million. Suge Knight, same thing. Dr. Dre, even better example. Dr. Dre's son dies. You know, I'm just saying to you guys, you got to see Mike Tyson's daughter randomly dies. John Travolta, you know what I'm saying, his son, you know, tragically dies. You know, I mean, these are a lot of random tragedies. Whitney Houston. You know, and so you really, and you guys know, sometimes some of this, a lot of this I'm preaching to the choir. It's just that there are people who have no idea. But if you really know what you know, you already know what I'm speaking about, and you're well familiar with it. So I would encourage everybody to just Google, and there are sites out there that will actually specify. I don't have them right in front of me right now, but there are sites out there that will give you a list of, say, 100 celebrities. You know, and it will literally, right next to it, show you who their blood sacrifice was and what that resulted in as far as their net worth, as far as their popularity, and it'll blow your minds. Have you, you've probably seen sites like that, Courtney?
I've seen somebody post something off one of those sites, and I think in our group a while back, but I haven't actually visited the site, but I want to, though.
It's deep out here, guys. It's definitely deep. It's not, it's the type of thing where once you have this information, it'll be very hard to sleep at night. It'll be very hard to go to the movies. It'll be very hard to watch television the way you used to, because it's like, I was trying to find something for my daughter not to watch, like, you know, something for her to watch. Like, I didn't want her to watch certain things on TV, and so I'm scrolling through. I'm like, well, dang, I couldn't even find it. A television show on Nickelodeon or a Sprout or any of these kids' channels, because literally everything I turned to was like some type of demonic or satanic reference. I was in Fridays a couple years ago with my wife. I go up there and, we're in Fridays. I look up and the light fixture was a pentagram. Now, if you know anything about the pentagram, that's a demonic symbol. If you Google demonic symbolism, the first thing that will come up is a pentagram inside of a circle. Everyone knows that's the basic satanic symbol, is a pentagram, and upside down pentagram in a circle. So I look up and the light fixture was the exact symbol. And I posted this in the group. I actually did a photo bucket. You can merged the two things together. I Googled real quick in the restaurant. I Googled demonic symbolism, and the pentagram came up. I took a picture of the light fixture, and it was an exact match, and I posted it side by side. Some of you may remember I posted in the group. I'm not sure if the group was around when I did that, but I know I posted on my page, and everybody was like, whoa, it's crazy. You know, how do you become one of the largest, you know, restaurant chains in the country? You don't just get there for the heck of it. You know, Fridays is in every state. A lot of you guys I do counseling with, and you guys know my famous, you know, Fridays analogy. I'm like, no matter where I'm talking to women all over the world, I'm like, well, do you have Fridays where you are? They're like, yeah. You have Fridays in Chicago, right?
Yeah, I just went there a couple of days ago. Yep.
Fridays is in like every state.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, look up. Next time you're at Fridays, look up at the light fixture. And then Google pentagram. Don't even Google pentagram. Google satanic symbolism, and you'll see the light fixture in Fridays. Is that not crazy to you?
That is off the chain. That is, it's like, wow.
See, people think I
everywhere.
Make this stuff up. Right. Just go. Just look at this. Just look around. Look for the red, black, white, and silver. Every icon, every logo, whether it's Verizon, Comcast, Staples, Nissan. I can't think of so many off the top of my head, but like 99.9% of these major corporate logos are red, black, white, and silver. And then that's when you start seeing the checker patterns and things like that. So there's that. You know, obviously, you know, Bruno Mars. And I wanted to share a couple more scriptures with y'all, and we'll take some more calls, and we'll get ready to get up out of here. Which one do I want to? Vengeance on his adversaries. Here's one I was speaking of just now. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, the revilers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of your Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's the good news. But, you know, is that you were washed and that you were sanctified. See, those sins are forgivable. It's, you know, it's not a good thing, but you're forgiven, except for the blasphemy. You notice that, you know, there's no forgiveness for blasphemy. But you see, the sexually immoral. And if you look at Miley Cyrus, which is a perfect example, look at the VMAs. And I wouldn't be surprised, and this is exactly probably what happened. The people who produced the VMAs, they take scriptures like this, and they say, okay, these are all the people who won't inherit the kingdom of God. So let's go ahead and let's get Robin Thicke, who sings about sex, sexually immoral, right? Where he's talking about raping women and tying people up, and I know you want it, and da-da-da-da. The sexually immoral, the idolaters, let's get your Kanye West up in there. He's, you know, American Idol and all these other shows and all this stuff of people who practice idolism. And the adulterers, you know, people, you know, you guys get it. You know, homosexuality, let's go ahead and throw Jason Collins up in there. Thieves, the greedy, you know, people who are, you know, criminals and things like that. Like, you got your 2 Chainz up there. You got your Kendrick Lamar. These are people who sing about rape and murder and gang life and violence and criminal activity. T.I. and Tiny will give them a show. You know what I'm saying? You got your greedy, the drunkards. You got your Miley Cyrus, Rick Ross, who are always talking about Molly and, you know, sipping on that scissor. You know, let's give 3-6 Mafia an Academy Award. Listen to what I'm saying, guys. And we'll get back to the scripture in a second. But you guys know that the only, understand this, is in the whole history of the Academy Awards, the only rappers, only hip-hop artists to ever win an Academy Award for anything, their name is the 3-6 Mafia. 666. 3-6 Mafia. Do you guys think it's a coincidence that they won an Academy Award? Did that not blow you? It's funny thing is that meant nothing to me when it actually happened years ago, but now it means everything.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right? 3-6 Mafia. How do you even become a group called 3-6 Mafia with fans at that? Who the heck is a fan of 3-6 Mafia? Who listens to their music? Who buys their music? Oh, yeah, what are you listening to? Oh, no, I'm just listening to a little 3-6 Mafia, 666. Like, what the heck? You know? But so, you know, you look at this scripture. You get all of these people here, you know, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers. You know, it says none of those people will inherit the kingdom of God. None of them. And it's saying that actually some of you were those same people. But the good news is that you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. You know, and so that's it, man. We'll take some calls before we get up out of here, but I think we've pretty much said all that needs to be said, and we've left little room for debate. We've left little room for confusion. You know, I mean, any thoughts that you wanted to add, and we'll take a couple of calls. If you guys have anything else to say, 646-200-0366.
Oh no! I think we can move along to the calls.
Man, I forget if I went to this one already, but 734 area code. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Hello. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. First, I wanted to use a Bible verse, which is in Mark, and it says, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world losing his soul?" So I definitely agree, and this is actually my favorite topic because it's really disturbing that this is definitely the unforgivable sin, and it hurts very much so that our people are so in denial and they don't study themselves to show themselves approved. And also, what else? Because I had actually wrote this down because I've been waiting.
Oh, take your time.
And also, I think people should also invest because what actually opened up my eyes to be truthful is the truth behind hip-hop. Are you familiar with that?
I am.
Okay, yeah. The truth behind hip-hop, part 5, is really what hit home with me. And a lot of our people are in denial about our president, Barack Obama. He blew me away. First, he doesn't have any fruit of the spirit. Second, I saw him throw up the triangle sign, which, you know, is in the cult. And it just, like I said, it breaks my heart. But if somebody would stand up, like a rapper like Beyonce, a Facebook friend of mine was on Facebook the other day, and she said she had a vision that an angel appeared to Beyonce and revealed to her how demonic she was. Now, I do understand that it is an unforgivable sin. However, if somebody would just go at all costs, even though they know they'd make it to hell or whatever, because I'm not God, but even if they knew they'd just make it to hell, but they like, you know what, I'm tired of people going down the, you know, the wide gate. It's time for somebody like her or somebody like Rihanna, somebody to step up and let the world know what it is, so people can do a 180 and they I feel like it's nothing like a great testimony to hear from somebody that actually is doing it, you know. And I just feel as though it would be great if somebody like that would stand up. So if my girlfriend, she's like Joseph, she's not my girlfriend, but my Facebook friend, she's like Joseph, she had dreams that God revealed to her, and she said, please start praying, and let's start making a change and seeing if God can do something with this situation so the people can wake up. So if you could just keep that in prayer. And,
Do me a favor,
like
just because we're short on time. Roby,
okay.
Not to cut you off, just because we're short a little
short
on time, let everybody know where you're calling in from.
Michigan.
Listen, I appreciate your call. I appreciate the scriptures and the, you know, and just the information. And I would really encourage everybody to research the origins of hip-hop, research the origins of a lot of these Greek organizations. you know, there's a lot of mistruths being out there, and I'm in a Greek organization, but I would still, I would encourage everyone, you know, like I did, to research, you know, a lot of symbolism, a lot of, you know, ideologies, a lot of chants, a lot of rituals, you know, because there's a lot of stuff that goes on in many organizations that's clearly not of God. You know, and we really, you know, at some point we've got to take a stand and say, you know what, wait a minute, if it's not of God, then that means it's of Satan. There's no ifs, ands about it. There's no easy way around it. If it's either it's of God or it's not, you know. But I appreciate the call, definitely. And I want to share a couple of scriptures, that, and I'm just looking through my email. There are a lot of great scriptures posted in the Friends of the Data on Tolbert Show group, a lot of great people in there. A lot of people who are just on fire for God, so it's a great place to be. Add yourselves if you're not already in there. But I do see a call from the 919 area code. Welcome to the Data on Tolbert Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
My name is Shannon, and I had a couple of points that I wanted to kind of bring out. And as you were talking during the show, it was just really interesting because I was like, ooh, you know, I was like, comment on that. But I don't know if you guys saw the 2012, I don't know whether it was 2011, 2012, Victoria's Secret Runway Model Show with Jay-Z and Kanye.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, did you recall when Jay-Z and Kanye did the new song they had and they asked the people to throw their hand up? And instead of them to wave it from side to side, they would, like, move it up and down. So as he was singing and he was saying, Hova, you actually could see the people bowing to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one thing that actually shook me. I was sitting, and it was just a spirit of discernment so clearly. It was just like, oh, my God, the people are bowing. And I actually had it on DVR. And I kept rewinding, and I was like, do you see this? And I showed my mom, and my mom was like, I'm floored. But I worked with the youth for years. I was a youth leader in the ministry I was in. And so I will always keep up and follow these certain things that were happening and taking place. And so that was one of the things that I had seen that really was like, oh, my God. But we have to understand as we go forth that we're dealing with principalities. Of course, the enemy, he's the prince of the air, and we're dealing with principalities, so it is important to pray and intercede. But it was, you had just so many things that you pointed out, and I was like, okay, yes, that is on point. But like you said, research certain Greek organizations or different things like that, and like you said, people are doing blood oaths. I have to tell you that even Katy Perry, if you ever went on YouTube, she actually mentioned that, you know, she wanted to be the next Amy Grant and different things, but, you know, now she worships the devil. Her mom and her dad, her mom is one of the most anointed prophetic women, powerful woman of God, and she go and speak around the world, and it's just like, you know, she was speaking about her daughter chose Hollywood. She was like, so just keep praying for Katie, you know, and different things like that. So I thought that was something that was very interesting. And also,
Go ahead. No. Yeah, what was the last point you were going to make?
The last point was even with the Masonic things. I did a whole study of that, and someone came in that actually had came from the organization a long time ago, and they were delivered from certain word curses and stuff that had been spoken. I actually have this thick book of denouncing the word curses that people have to denounce. The word curses that they have spoken over their families through generations, through bloodlines, and different things like that. I actually had a thick binder where, you know, I knew families who had been a part of Easter Star, all kinds of things like that, where they had to go back and denounce these word curses that they have spoken over their family. And so it's very interesting what you're talking about, and very, it's on point and very keen. And I just say keep pushing forward, doing what you're doing, no matter what, because this is very needed in the body of Christ as well. And there's so much I can say, just like even the organ. If you notice, you were talking about the black churches and basically perversion being released in the black churches and black ministries, and the homosexuality being okay. If you do research on the organ and you go back to when the organ was designed, which is, it was between the 1300s and the 1600s, it was mainly, if you know, that's the only instrument that's not in Scripture, in the Word of God.
Right.
The thing with the organ is, it was designed back then for different gatherings where they had orgies, they had all kinds of perversion going on. So if you find that, and you will find this in a lot of ministries, in black ministries, that, well, African-American ministries, where people, usually the musicians struck out with perversion.
Right. Look, Jimmy, I appreciate, not to cut you off, just because we are very short on time, but I encourage everybody to research that. Do me a favor, let everyone know where you're calling in from tonight.
North Carolina.
I really appreciate, and I'm, you know, I wish we had more time for tonight's show. Listen, guys, this is not the last time we'll talk about this stuff. This is not the first time we've talked about this stuff, and I would encourage anyone, if you're maybe tuning in tonight for the first time, understand that we did several classic shows, you know, Satanism in the entertainment industry. Last year we did a post-Grammy special, specifically kind of similar to what we did tonight, but talking about last year's Grammys, which were literally filled with Illuminati symbolism, as well as that whole celebrities who sold their souls for fame and fortune show last year as well. So definitely make it your business to listen to all of those classic shows. You know, tons of informative pieces of information there. Courtney, it's a pleasure to have you here tonight. Any last words that you want to leave with the people? And I want to read a couple of scriptures to close us out.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say to those that are listening, just definitely do your research and pay attention to, you know, what is going on in society as far as just everything, but in particular our music. You know, be very careful what it is that you listen to and what you take in, you know, because a lot of the stuff that is talked about in regards to just the lyrics, the song lyrics, are very demonic and can really have an effect on you if you consistently listen to that. So definitely take what we learned into consideration and just pay attention so that you can educate others and pass it along.
Right. Absolutely great advice. I would, real quick, just because I just thought of this, you know, when you look at, we're talking about blasphemy and hip-hop, and it's really impossible to not look at who's hot right now. You know, we're talking about entertainment, but if you look at, you know, take an in-depth look at hip-hop, you look at this quote-unquote new class, the new generation. You got your Big Sean, you got your Drake, you got J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, Wale. Let's just start with those. You know, Drake, and if you notice, they all have these little catchphrases. You notice every 5 seconds, Big Sean is saying, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God this, oh, God that. What does Drake say all the time? Yes, Lord. You ever heard Drake
he does.
Say that? Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Drake is yes, Lord. Big Sean is oh, God. Wale, you know, he's constantly throwing up the 666 sign in all his videos, if you look at that. You know, and not only just that, but the song with the content that they're putting out there, you know, is clearly of a satanic nature. When you look at the song Bad, you know, I can't, what'd she say, what's the hook? I can't love you, but I sure know how to, whatever the heck she's saying, I sure know how to have sex. You know, for lack of a better term. And, you know, you look at Kendrick Lamar, when you looked at his performance, 2 Chainz comes out there acting crazy. But Kendrick Lamar had on a 777 shirt, which if you know anything about the number 7, it symbolizes completion. You know, if you look at Rihanna's tour, it was entitled the 777 Tour. It's basically letting you guys know they're laying the foundation, and it's already done. You know, it's over. It's completed. That, you know, these are the last days. What our satanic agenda is has been put forth, and this is the end. You know, and that's why a lot of this stuff is 777. You know, as opposed to kind of, you know, a continuation of the 666, but to symbolize total completion. You look at real quick J. Cole's album cover. Google J. Cole's album cover, and you'll see that this guy has a freaking devil horns right on the top of his head, you know, on his album cover. You know, it's like a little symbol with devil horns. You look at Wale. What's his album cover of? Well, it's his face on a Jesus piece, right? I mean, so, again, we're talking about all, these are the – you're unfamiliar with hip-hop. The people I just named, again, Wale, J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, Drake, Meek Mill, who obviously has a song entitled Amen, every single one of the hottest rappers in hip-hop today, the most popular, they all are very passionate about making a mockery of Jesus Christ on a regular basis. Kendrick Lamar, look at any of his first videos. What is it? Swimming pools. Google, go on YouTube and look up swimming pools. This guy's in a red devil suit. He's, you know, red, black, white, and silver, same type of thing. Anyone who thinks this stuff is a coincidence has serious, serious issues. If you listen to this show that we've been doing for the last 3 hours and you can't see the blatant and obvious and deliberate satanic and demonic, you know, agenda, you know, I pray for you, because this stuff is right in your face and could not be more clear, you know, at this point. And in fact, the Bible says right here, and we'll, as we get ready to wrap it up, it says that anyone, it says, as I say to you, anyone who acknowledges me before men, well, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before men will also be denied before the angels of God. And so just within the context of tonight's show, you know, and I know a lot of people wrestle with, you know, should I post the link of this show? Should I let people know that I'm listening to a show on, you know, and I don't care about me. I mean, the show's going to do what it's going to do. I'm not asking for my sake. I'm asking for your sake. It says, because if you're afraid, that's basically what this is saying. It's saying is that if the people of the world, if the entertainment industry has such a hold on you that you're afraid to acknowledge God before Facebook, acknowledge God before Twitter, acknowledge God before your friends and family, well, then God himself, the Son of Man, you know, he will deny you. You know, he'll deny you on Judgment Day. And if you get denied on Judgment Day, then you go to hell, plain and simple. That's what this scripture in Luke 12, 8 and 9 says. You know, and the people who are on the wrong side of that equation, it says here in Ezekiel 25, 17, and I will execute great vengeance upon them, with furious rebukes, not just rebukes, but furious rebukes. I will exact vengeance upon them with furious rebukes, and at that point they shall know that I am the Lord. He said, when I lay my vengeance on them, at that point they will know that I'm God, and they'll basically know that this is not a joke. They'll know that I am not to be played around with. Jay-Z will understand it's not okay to call himself Jehovah, which means God, Jehovah. Kanye West will understand when God lets that fire rain down on him that it's not okay to call himself Jesus. Beyonce will understand the severity of referring to herself as I am, which is another word for God. You guys understand that the major people, Obama, will understand that it's not okay to push this homosexual agenda forward and make a mockery of Christianity, you know? It's not okay to magically lose all your jewelry during the month of Ramadan and say that it's getting fixed. You hear about that, Courtney? A lot of people don't want to talk about that. But Obama's jewelry was conspicuously absent during the entire month of Ramadan, if you know anything about Muslims and Islam, you don't wear jewelry during the month of Ramadan. Well, he did a press conference or something. They said he was asked. This is real. Look this stuff up. They asked him, so, yo, Obama, where's your ring at? What happened to your watch, Obama? Like, where's your jewelry? And the White House had issued a statement saying it was getting fixed. Oh, okay, right. It was getting fixed during the whole month of Ramadan. The only time you're never seen with that serpent ring that you have on your ring, on your ring finger, that says no God but Allah. Google if you don't know about that. It's just missing. So this is the type of stuff that we've really got to take a look at. When you grow up where in a population that's 90% Muslim, your whole life, but then all of a sudden you're a Christian when you move to Hawaii. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on. I'm just asking. No, I mean, no disrespect to anybody, and I'm not saying I'm not saying you can't change, but I'm just saying, Courtney, if you grew up, Christian your whole life, and you move to another state, what's the likelihood that you're going to convert to a whole nother religion, something totally opposite than what you've practiced your entire life?
Very unlikely.
It's very unlikely. It's very unlikely. And I'm just encouraging everyone to look beyond CNN, look beyond, NBC, ABC, MTV, BET, and, really look at what's going on out here. So I thank you all for listening. My favorite gospel song of all time is the most appropriate thing that I can play to play to close this out. But really, just say some prayers tonight and ask yourselves, really, who do you stand for? What are you about? And what can you do to shed light on the blatant disrespect? If you see someone, disrespecting your mother, you see someone disrespecting your father, or even a close friend of yours, you're going to say something. When you see people disrespecting your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you need to say something. I just happen to do a 3-hour show. But if nothing else, at least say something, guys. So thank you all for listening. I'll see you all tomorrow night. Peace.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. It is the
sweetest
name.
Come on and lift your hands and say
it
with
me. It
is the sweetest
name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know.
Listen to this right here.
Some people say I'm pretty, but I can't explain.
No, no.
The power that I feel, oh, when I call your name.
When I